Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
Nights at 10. Listen in on KRXA 540, and you'll hear at least four. You'll hear the perspectives of Mark Leonard, Tony Rudy, Billy Sunshine, and me, Jack Hart. We have guests bring their own expertise and experience to their analysis of current events. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for a different perspective. And on September 4th, our show will expand to 2 hours, and we'll start at 9 in the evening and go through to 11. Join us here on KRXA 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. People are shivering and shoveling from Portland, Oregon to Portland, Maine. So much snow on one factory roof in Washington State, it caved in. No one was hurt. The airports are clogged.
We've been standing in this line, since 11 o'clock last night.
Did you get any sleep at all?
No.
I see you got some cardboard here.
Well, I tried to get comfortable, but I couldn't.
Single digits, worries about the homebound in many places, particularly in the Midwest. And it's only in the 40s in Corpus Christi and New Orleans, so it's cold all over. A terror plot against the Army's Fort Dix in New Jersey. Guilty of plotting, says the jury. No conviction for attempted murder because they didn't get around to attempting to murder anyone. The convicts are 5 foreign-born Muslims in Camden, New Jersey. Here's one unhappy relative.
There's no plot, no conspiracy. They proved everything and they're still guilty.
Prosecutors had 2 informants who told of the plot, the plans for jihad. There were video of the suspects and their guns practicing and shouting jihadist phrases. Acting U.S. Attorney Ralph Mara says their case was about what the suspects did, not what the informants told them.
We were very careful to bring a case based on the intent of these defendants, the intent and action of these defendants, not on something trumped up by a cooperating witness.
The conspiracy convictions could bring life in prison. It's possible. Sentencing in late April, appeals are assured. Not much in the way of new information from the NTSB, from the latest briefing on the Continental jet that veered off the runway.
I understand that there is good data on those recorders. And when I mean good data, as it relates to a cockpit voice recorder, we have the crew conversations are audible.
The NTSB's Bob Sumwalt. On Wall Street, the Dow lost 59 points today. The Nasdaq was off 32. Oil closed at just under $40 a barrel. The ebb and flow of American population trends is a window on the recession this year.
The latest census numbers show California remains the most populous state, and Utah is now the fastest-growing state.
Earlier, Nevada had been the fastest-growing state for 18 years in a row.
Greg Harper is a Census Bureau demographer.
It's not that Utah is taking off in population growth. It's that other states like Arizona and Nevada have slowed down in their growth.
Utah's population grew by 2.5% July to July. John Harchie, CBS News, Washington.
There's a reason they are criminals. The sheriff's office in Chicago sent out $500 gift cards to people on their fugitives list. Dozens of them showed up. Cook County Sheriff Tom Dart says one guy sure didn't get it.
He also asked me as he was being let out in handcuffs if there was any chance whatsoever that he'd be able to get the gift cards from us.
Most of the charges were for battery, forgery, assaults, break-ins. One perp showed up with marijuana in his pocket. This is CBS News.
Honey, come on. We've got last-minute shopping to do.
Let's go to
Lowe's Last-Minute Extravaganza.
A bullhorn?
Sorry. But this Thursday through Christmas Eve, we'll get 10% off major appliances, $397 or more.
Oh.
Plus, we can register for a free $10 online certificate with purchase of $100 in Lowe's gift cards and get 10% off all wet dry vacs and Cobalt tool storage chests.
Let's go to Lowe's.
I'll start the car.
Do your last-minute shopping at Lowe's this weekend to get 50% off holiday decorations. Lowe's. Let's build something together. While supplies last, some restrictions apply. See store for details.
If someone you know would love a quality Swiss watch for the holidays, go to Jarrett, the Galleria of Jewelry. As you might expect from the store that has 5 times the selection of ordinary jewelry stores, you'll find an outstanding collection with brands like Tag Heuer, Movado, Tissot, and many more. But unlike stores that carry just a few models, Jarrett always has the latest styles of the brands you want.
It can only be Jarrett.
find a Jared store or shop anytime at jared.com.
President Bush goes to Walter Reed Medical Center, but not just to get his shoulder looked at.
For the 16th and probably the final time, President Bush was visiting wounded military personnel at Walter Reed Army Medical Center.
Every time I come here, I get amazed at the quality of care, the professionalism, and the courage of our troops.
He presented Purple Heart medals to 7 wounded soldiers. He also underwent an MRI on his left shoulder, which has been causing him some pain. Doctors treated it with a shot of cortisone. Mark Knoller, CBS News, the White House.
Bob Davis is the man who forced the city of Seattle to end its moratorium against strip clubs, and he collected $500,000 in his lawsuit. Now, he plans to use that money to reopen his pancake restaurant as a club and keep the name Cindy's. He says pancakes and other sweets will still come from that kitchen. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Honey, come on, we've got last-minute shopping to do.
Let's go to
Lowe's Last-Minute Extravaganza!
A bullhorn?
Sorry, but this Thursday through Christmas Eve, we'll get 10% off major appliances, $397 or more.
Oh.
Plus, we can register for a free $10 online certificate with purchase of $100 in Lowe's gift cards and get 10% off all wet dry vacs and Cobalt tool storage chests.
Let's go to Lowe's.
I'll start the car!
Do your last-minute shopping at Lowe's this weekend to get 50% off holiday decorations. Lowe's, let's build something together. While supplies last, some restrictions apply. See store for details.
Just because it's last minute doesn't mean you can't gift smarter with the perfect gift at a great price from Office Depot. Hurry in now because it's all on sale. All HD TVs, all digital cameras, all camcorders, all digital picture frames, all portable GPS systems, and more. Gift smarter with Office Depot and get the gifts they really want, like the hottest technology, all at great prices. Office Depot, taking care of business. Sale ends 12/24/08.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
On the top of our website, it says, True Patriots Defend the Constitution. We're going to be working on that today. Happy holidays, Merry Christmas, Advance Kwanzaa greetings, Winter Solstice observations. This is a fresh edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. It's our last Monday of the year. Now, just so you know, we'll have live programming Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I'll be here tomorrow, Stephanie Hendricks on Wednesday, and then the best of Peter B. Collins on Friday. On Thursday for Christmas, we bring you the annual Peter B. Collins Holiday Music Festival, including some gems from my own tax-deductible music archives and performances recorded recently on the program by Roy Zimmerman and Dr. Elmo, the Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer guy. And on the day after Christmas, you'll hear a repeat of our recent special theme broadcast on the future of media and journalism. That'll be replayed on New Year's Day, too. So I hope you'll get a chance to listen to the whole program, even if it takes a couple of attempts. On our show today, we have two very fine constitutional lawyers. We'll start off with Marjorie Cohn from the National Lawyers Guild, and later in the program, Bruce Fine will join us. They are both passionate about the Constitution, and they arrive there from very different perspectives. Also on today's program, in about half an hour, John R. Rick MacArthur, the publisher of Harper's Magazine, will join us. I'll ask him to critique the media's performance in 2008, talk about the Obama team, and the future of one of my favorite magazines, Harper's. Next hour, Cliff Schechter will be here, author of The Real McCain. Turns out Sarah Palin pals around with a woman who uses OxyContin and has an arrest record to prove it. But, you know, we don't slime people just by who they associate with. And in our final hour today, we're going to take up a tragic and surprising event that occurred last Friday. While we were conducting our regular weekly show on election integrity, we discussed Mike Connell, the Republican IT or computer guru, who gave a deposition the day before the 2008 election regarding charges that he helped steal the election in Ohio in 2004. And as we were discussing Mike Connell, or about that time, the plane that he was soloing crashed near Akron, Ohio. He died, and the information he has on the 2004 election, was it stolen? Perhaps went with him. We'll talk with Brad Friedman, our go-to guy on election integrity issues. Harvey Wasserman from Columbus, Ohio, will check in with us too. And the attorney who deposed Mike Connell, Cliff Arnebeck, will join us as well. That's in our third 5 p.m. Pacific hour today here on the Peter B. Collins Show. And you will have to excuse me. I picked up the holiday crud and I have a bit of a cough today. But we will press on. And if you want to call into the program, I'd be delighted to hear from you. You know my number, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. As we mentioned, Marjorie Cohn is president of the National Lawyers Guild. She teaches constitutional law in San Diego at the Thomas Jefferson School. And she is the author, most recently, of Cowboy Republic, Six Ways the Bush Gang Has Defied the Law. Marjorie, happy holidays. Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, Peter, and happy holidays to you.
Well, thanks a lot. I wanted to start off with the discussion of the recent remarkable comments in public by Vice President Cheney. And everybody you talk to who listens to the rather assertive and unambiguous statements that he is making in response to questions from news people assumes that he knows that he's got a pardon in hand, because why else would he admit that he supported waterboarding, that he was active in the development of the torture policies of the Bush administration, and many other issues that he's been remarkably blunt about just in recent weeks?
Well, I think that's true. He was asked about waterboarding on ABC News, and he said, quote, this is Cheney speaking, "I was aware of the program, certainly, and involved in helping get the process cleared." And, of course, he must know that under U.S. law, waterboarding constitutes torture, and under our Federal War Crimes Act, torture is a war crime, punishable by life imprisonment or even the death penalty. And even people that don't physically carry out the torture, commanders, can be just as liable as the torturers if they knew or should have known that their subordinates would be committing them and they did nothing to stop or prevent it. Now, we know from CIA Director Michael Hayden that at least three people were waterboarded, including colleague Sheikh Mohammed, and Cheney said that lots of information and intelligence was gained from the treatment, the harsh treatment of colleague Sheikh Mohammed.
And that's recently, that's a comment that's been directly refuted by FBI agents.
Exactly, who said that the information was virtually worthless. So you wonder why Cheney was so sanguine about admitting that he's a war criminal. And he evidently thinks that Bush will preemptively pardon him, or that when Obama becomes president, he will not prosecute him. I think Cheney also thinks that because there were memos written by the lawyers, John Yoo, Jay Bybee, William Haynes, David Addington, saying that it was okay to torture, basically redefining torture and attempting to immunize these high officials from war crimes prosecutions, that covers him. But as Senator Carl Levin told Rachel Maddow last week, mm-hmm. You cannot legalize what's illegal by having a lawyer write an opinion.
Well, and this becomes a kind of game that they appear to be playing, where you have Mukasey saying that, oh, Bush doesn't need to issue any pardons because we have legal opinions that say that what was done was legal. But when it flies in the face of reality and the facts to such a degree, that seems to be fantastical. And there's some Democrats circulating emails today that Christmas Eve may be the occasion when Bush issues these massive pardons. It was on that occasion at the end of Poppy Bush's term that he pardoned Cap Weinberger and others for the Iran-Contra affair.
Yes, but keep in mind that Michael Mukasey, who is Bush's third attorney general, said, well, there's no need for Bush to issue these pardons because there's no evidence that anyone developed these policies, quote, for any reason other than to protect the security in the country and in the belief that he or she was doing something lawful, unquote. Well, I would love it if that was a defense to a criminal act. Hundreds of my clients would be walking around free today
yeah.
if that were the case, but noble motives are not defenses to the commission of crimes, and that's very well known.
Well, and Levin was talking on the Rachel Maddow show about the Senate Foreign Relations Committee report, Armed Services report that finally came out, which is quite explicit, and it parallels the work of Philippe Sands, the British journalist and legal scholar, who wrote the book Torture Team. And it went into great detail about the origins of the policy and the deniability chain that was created, where they had memos come up from a Lieutenant Diane Beaver at Guantanamo Bay asking for approval to use some techniques that they called, you know, enhanced interrogation. And we know from Sands, and now affirmed and confirmed by the Senate committee, that this was a top-down effort where they said, send us a memo and we'll approve it.
Absolutely. I mean, the Senate Armed Services Committee report was very specific that this was not just a few bad apples, that, and this is right from the report, the Senate Armed Services Committee report, quote, senior officials in the United States government solicited information on how to use aggressive techniques, redefined the law to create the appearance of their legality and authorize their use against detainees. And the report also found that Rumsfeld's authorization of aggressive interrogation techniques for use at Guantanamo Bay was a direct cause of detainee abuse there. And those techniques migrated to Iraq and Afghanistan, where prisoners in U.S. custody were also tortured.
Mm-hmm. Well, and additionally, as you point out in an article that is recently up at the Huffington Post, this has been the symbol that has united the jihadist world and the radical Islamic world into, you know, developing their tactics against the United States. And it's used for recruiting. It is used to gain support from populations that might otherwise remain neutral or even be against the work of guerrillas and terrorists. And so this is a compound error, and we really have to fix it.
Well, yes, and it's not just me. I actually quoted former Navy General Counsel Alberto Mora, who testified to the Senate Armed Services Committee in June that, quote, there are serving U.S. flag rank officers who maintain that the first and second identifiable causes of U.S. combat deaths in Iraq, as judged by their effectiveness in recruiting insurgent fighters into combat, are respectively, the symbols of Abu Ghraib and Guantanamo. And Matthew Alexander, a former Special Intelligence Operations Officer, corroborated what Alberto Morris said. He said that the number of Americans killed in Iraq because of the U.S. military's use of torture is more than 3,000. So here we have, it's illegal to use torture, and it's immoral, and not only that, it doesn't work.
Right.
And, in addition, it makes us less safe.
Mm-hmm. So we know that the Obama administration and the president-elect himself appear to have a very limited appetite for investigating the crimes of the Bush administration, and Obama has said that he's averse to anything that would seem like a political show trial. I don't care about that. I think we really have to fight for our constitutional rights and for constitutional rule. And that's why we invited you, who come from the left, and Bruce Fine, who comes from the far right, to join us on the program today, because I want people to hear these disparate points of view converging on the need for accountability and a restoration of constitutional rule.
Well, you know, Obama said during the campaign, if crimes had been committed, they should be investigated. But he said he would not want his first term consumed by what was perceived on the part of the Republicans as a partisan witch hunt. But then two Obama advisors told the Associated Press that there's little, if any, chance that the incoming president's Justice Department will go after anyone involved in authorizing or carrying out interrogations that provoked worldwide outrage. Now, I was speaking recently with one general, a retired brigadier general, who was one of a dozen retired generals who met with President-elect Barack Obama's top legal advisors, including Eric Holder, who is going to be his nominee for attorney general. And evidently, Eric Holder asked these retired generals whether or not they thought that he should prosecute. And so there is that is a good sign. To me, that indicates somewhat of an open mind about prosecuting. Joe Biden said some things recently that talked about an openness to looking at prosecutions. Now, of course, the policy will be set at the top, but Eric Holder has stated in the past that his idea of an attorney general is both to serve the president but also to serve the people, and it's kind of a dual role.
Yeah.
So hopefully he will have some independence, but also hopefully Obama will be convinced that it's actually not in our best interest to let these people off scot-free, because that would set a precedent that war criminals will not be held to account. It will create impunity, and it can actually make us less safe if the terrorists look at what's happening at Abu Ghraib and Guantanamo and then see that nobody's being held to account. That's going to create even more animosity against the United States and make us even less safe.
And Marjorie Cohn, a final question. You and the National Lawyers Guild have led an aggressive effort to discipline or remove John Yoo from his position as a professor at the law school at the University of California, Berkeley. And recently, the Berkeley City Council was grappling with a resolution to advise the university to investigate and discipline Professor Yoo. Where does your effort stand right now, and what are the odds that we will see some sanctions against him for his very clear and blatant support of the torture policies of this administration?
Well, the press release that the National Lawyers Guild put out calling for the dismissal of John Yoo because of his commission of war crimes, his participation in the setting of the policy that led to war crimes, was actually led to a letter from the dean of the Berkeley Law School, who said, well, he was defending John Yoo, but he said that if crimes had been committed, that would be grounds for removal. He was not satisfied yet that there had been crimes committed. So I think it's really incumbent upon the new attorney general, whoever he or she might be, to appoint an independent prosecutor to investigate and prosecute those who ordered and authorized war crimes. And it used to be there was an independent counsel statute after Watergate to go after high officials. But Ken Starr used and abused that power in his witch hunt against Bill Clinton, so that Congress really lost its taste for this independent counsel statute and allowed it to just expire of its own terms. And now the Attorney General is the one who appoints the independent prosecutor. So we need to continue, and the National Lawyers Guild is continuing, to call on the new President Obama to appoint an outside independent counsel, to have his Attorney General appoint an outside independent counsel. Congress can also call for the appointment of an independent counsel, not just a 9/11 commission to do a historical study, but really an outside independent prosecutor with subpoena power who can actually prosecute people for whom there is probable cause that they violated the law.
And you think the dean would want to set a good example for law students about standards and ethics and prosecutions and investigations. Marjorie Cohn, thank you for talking with us today. And again, her most recent book is Cowboy Republic. I'm Peter B. Collins. We'll continue in just a moment.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, inexpensive Mandarin and Cantonese food prepared to order every day. The May family invites you to savor their authentic Chinese dishes and tasty soups like congee and wonton noodle. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.75 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry for 35 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place before your first oral examination. He interviews every new patient so he understands what is important to you, and because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Just because gas prices are low doesn't mean our troubles are over. Mother Nature's getting hot under the collar, our economy is in the toilet, and we're spending billions overseas to fill our tanks. Both kinds. Did you know local people have sold locally made fuel on the Central Coast since 2002? At the Green Station, our biodiesel is ASTM approved and is made from restaurant fryer oil collected right here. Did you know that electric cars were first built in the 1830s? Almost 200 years later, and our government still has plenty of money for oil wars, but not enough to jumpstart our renewable energy economy. 70% of all car trips in America can be done in a neighborhood electric vehicle. This will help save our planet and save you money. Zen neighborhood electric cars are at the Green Station now, and they can be charged by the sun. From local biodiesel to electric cars, bikes, and scooters, renewable transportation and a more peaceful world are just a call away. Call the Green Station today in Santa Cruz at 831-425-9100. Major credit cards are now accepted. That's 831-425-9100. Again, that's 831-425-9100.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Want to meet a healthcare provider that will give you the time to talk about your health issues and actually listen to you? Are you looking for an alternative to the pill-popping culture created by the megaceutical companies? Do you have chronic pain, headaches, depression, allergies, or any other unresolved health concerns? Give Optimal Health a try. Hi, I'm Glenn Sadowski, licensed acupuncturist at Optimal Health Acupuncture in Monterey at 655-3208. I'll be at the Pilgrim's Way Bookstore in downtown Carmel on the second and fourth Sundays of each month. Reserve your space for an absolutely free 20-minute health evaluation, a wonderful opportunity to make an informed decision on your well-being. Call Optimal Health Acupuncture at 655-3208 today. Times are limited. Optimal Health, where you receive good medicine with great results. Our number again is 655-3208 or on the web at optimalhealthmonterey.com. Think for yourself at Optimal Health.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Coming up just a few minutes away, John R. Rick MacArthur, the publisher of Harper's Magazine, will join us. And I want to take a moment here to talk to the people who download the Peter B. Collins Show every day and listen to it on your earbuds via an iPod or an MP3 player of some kind. Over the weekend, some interesting data fell into my lap. Well, it actually fell into my laptop. And you folks have made this program one of the most regularly downloaded progressive radio shows in America today. And I'll just tell you this, it tickled me to take a look at the rankings here. And this show is so far ahead of Michael Savage, the right-wing real nut, that it made me feel warm and fuzzy all over. So if you're a podcaster, I've got an offer for you. If you're one of the first five to email me after you hear this announcement, peter@peterbcollins.com, send a mailing address and we'll send you a DVD of Murder, Spies, and Voting Lies. I want to know where you are. Somewhere in these United States, how you found the Peter B. Collins Show, and why it is you download every day. I'm very pleased. Also, if you live on the West Coast, you know about Bernie Ward. Bernie was a longtime liberal talk show host out of San Francisco. And this past year, he was convicted on a child pornography charge. And they really, really threw the book at him. He's serving a 6-year federal prison sentence. He was supposed to serve it in California, within 500 miles of his family and home. And without any warning, and without telling Bernie where he was going, they shipped him off to Beaumont, Texas, one of the ugliest minimum security prisons in the country. I invite you to write Bernie Ward. His address and information are on my website in the blog at peterbcollins.com. I got a letter from Bernie recently. and he would love to hear from you. So drop him a note. Include a couple of extra stamps if you can, because Bernie doesn't have any money. And if you can help, I know he would really be pleased. All the info's right there at peterbcollins.com on the homepage.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File, sponsored in part by New York Life Insurance Company. Life insurance from New York Life is one of the most selfless gifts you can give your family. That's why New York Life is the company you keep. I'm Charles Osgood. The barrage of bad economic news has a lot of people scared.
There is a wild, palpable fear running amok in the nation.
And because of that, a lot of Americans are sitting on our wallets this Christmas. Is this a good idea? The economist, author, actor, consultant, animal lover, philosopher, and Sunday morning contributor Ben Stein doesn't think so.
This is not a good idea. For those of us who still have our jobs, who still have two nickels to rub together, we should be buying like mad.
Stein makes a good point, which we'll hear after this.
All right, let's get down to some direct talk from DirecTV. At a time when the cost of almost everything around you is spiraling out of control, DirecTV puts you back in control with this amazing offer that locks in your price until 2010. Right now, you can get over 150 digital channels of DirecTV for just $29.99 a month for a full year. For a limited time, ask how to get 3 free months of HBO, Stars, and Showtime. That's 28 of the best premium movie channels free for 3 whole months. Lock in your savings until 2010 by switching to DirecTV today. Don't miss out. Call today. 888-578-DIRECTV. 888-578-DIRECTV. Call right now to get over 150 digital channels of DirecTV for just $29.99 a month for 12 months. 888-578-DIRECTTV. Offer ends 12/31/08 and subject to credit approval. $23 bill credit requires rebate and enrollment in auto bill pay program. New DIRECTTV customers only. Leasing credit card required. Other conditions apply. Call for details.
The role of the consumer in a consumer-based economy is to consume, even now, especially now, says Ben Stein.
If we can afford it, now is not the time to zip up our wallet.
That's the economist Stein talking.
Look, we're facing what the genius economist John Maynard Keynes called the paradox of thrift. If everyone is cheap and thrifty and doesn't spend, the economy slumps and everyone is poorer, not richer. This really isn't rocket science. It's part of what caused the Great Depression.
And this is philosopher and animal lover Stein talking.
Most of all, we can and must share with people and animals in need. When times get tough, donations to charities such as homeless shelters and animal shelters collapse. Those of us still able should really dig deep this Christmas and give all we can. That money doesn't get hoarded on Wall Street. It gets spent right now. Helps the economy, and helps us feel as if we were slightly better people.
And don't feel guilty about spending money. It's your money. You earned it. And if you've been saving for a rainy day, hey, it's that rainy day.
So for those of us who can still pay our mortgages, let's tip the doorman double, get nice cashmere sweaters and flat-screen TVs for our kids, and trips to Palm Springs for our wives.
Thank you, Ben Stein. The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Come here, Max. What's wrong? What?
Ruff.
Oh, I get it. A rough day?
Ruff, ruff.
Hi, I'm Dr. Annetta Richmond inviting you to Natural Veterinary Therapy in Pacific Grove, the peninsula's new holistic veterinary medicine clinic featuring a wide variety of natural treatments and remedies for common ailments. We also specialize in acupuncture, chiropractic, and physical rehabilitation using an underwater treadmill. Natural Veterinary Therapy, Lighthouse Avenue between 14th and 15th in Pacific Grove. Our environment is unique. Clients comment on how calm and caring it is for their pets and themselves. At Natural Veterinary Therapy, our goal is to help your pet heal from within. So think for yourself and think for your pets. Visit our website at naturalveterinarytherapy.com or call 655-0501. That's 655-0501.
Meow. Whiskers, I'd better call Dr. Richmond for you, too.
Meow, meow.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show up and down the left coast. Podcasters all across the nation, now live in Boston on AM 1510. Good to have you listening, New England.
People moving out, people moving in. Why? Because of the color of the skin.
Run, 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 but you sure can't hide.
An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Vote for me and I'll set you free. Teacher.
Which preacher? Is that Rick Warren?
Segregation, determination,
or Jeremiah Wright? That's what the world is today, a ball of confusion. And one of my anchor media outlets that helps me cut through the confusion and understand what's going on is a magazine called Harper's. It's celebrating a big anniversary right now. And its publisher, John R. Rick MacArthur, joins us on the program today. Hello, Rick.
Hey, Peter. Nice to be with you.
It's been too long. How are you?
It's been a long time. I don't know. I guess I'm good. I guess I'm pretty good.
Yeah?
I'm happy we've made it this far. I can't believe I've been publisher for 25 years. I really cannot believe it.
Well, that is amazing. I mean, you and I go back 15 years.
At least. I
recall talking to you in our San Francisco studio when you were on your way over to pitch Hal Reiney for the Saturn account.
That's right.
Got it.
And we got it.
And did you give him some single malt scotch? That was my advice.
I wish I'd known that was what he wanted to drink. But I wasn't that sophisticated at that point. But the other thing about it was that I think that was Gulf War times, too.
It was.
I think that's where we first connected on the propaganda campaign to drive us into the first Gulf War.
That's right, yeah. And you individually, some of the books you've published, articles and commentaries you've made, plus the work of the magazine, really have been, I think, very important all through the Bush years. And I applaud you for the work. And I just want to single out two people, not at the expense of anybody else, but people from Harper's who are frequent guests on our program. And that's Ken Silverstein, your Washington bureau chief, and Scott Horton, who wrote the cover story last month about justice after Bush.
And we're celebrating the end of the Bush era with our Harper's Index of the Bush era, which is, I guess, what we're going to talk about a little bit today.
Yeah.
You know, Bush has been very, very bad for the country, but paradoxically pretty good for Harper's Magazine because he's given us a big, fat target. The thing is, we were banging away at Bush beginning during the 2000 campaign before, when people just thought of him as a kind of affable stumble bum, you know, the son of the former president, not too bright, but not so menacing, not so threatening. We did a very tough piece on him in May of 2000 by Joe Connison,
mm-hmm.
and we ratcheted up the volume right away, and were the strongest magazine, the strongest media in the country in the run up to the invasion of Iraq. And so I think it's fitting that our Harper's Index of the Bush era sort of sends Bush on his way.
Well, and let me just lift a couple from the index here that will warm people. Estimated number of U.S. intelligence reports on Iraq that were based on information from a single defector, 100 reports. Number of times the defector had ever been interviewed by U.S. intelligence agents, zero.
Yeah, it really tells the whole story. And it also tells you the whole story of the media complicity in this, because this is not a number that you were going to read in the New York Times or the Washington Post or the San Francisco Chronicle in 2002. It's a whole story in two numbers.
Yeah, yeah. And right above it, I can't resist this one, is the number of signing statements that Bush issued in the eight-year period. And, of course, there could be more. It's 1,069 as of your publication date.
Yeah, this is Bush saying, I don't really take Congress that seriously. I'm going to sign this law, but I'm going to say that I don't believe I have to enforce it, which is the heart of the illegality of the Bush administration, their whole approach to anti-constitutional government. It's not just unconstitutional, it's anti-constitutional. But my favorite, if you don't mind my jumping in here, is this whole series, which really is emblematic of the initiative we take at the Harper's Index and the creative process, if you will, because it's very accurate. The numbers are very accurate. It starts with minimum number of times that Frederick Douglass was beaten in what is now Donald Rumsfeld's vacation home, 25.
Ooh.
the former slave and a great liberation theologist or spokesman, Frederick Douglass. Then under that we say estimated number of juveniles whom the United States has detained as enemy combatants since 2002, 2,500. Then under that, minimum number of detainees who were tortured to death in U.S. custody, 8. Minimum number of extraordinary renditions that the United States has made since 2006, 200.
Yeah.
And then date on which USA Today added Guantanamo to its weather map, 1305. So.
Well, and let's just go one more here. Number of incidents of torture on primetime network TV shows. From 02 to 07, 897, because Philippe Sands, in the Torture Team book, details that people at Guantanamo were watching the Fox Entertainment Channel, watching the 24 show, and it actually was referenced in some of the memos about torture.
Right, right.
So,
right.
I mean, we've really crossed the line from infotainment, in ways that I never predicted.
Right. And we showed the increase. It was 897 from 2002 to 2007. In the previous 7 years, it was only 110.
Mm-hmm.
So you see that the culture has changed, but also the tolerance of torture has changed. It's become mainstream, primetime, acceptable entertainment.
And Dick Cheney feels comfortable bragging about it.
Yeah, no kidding. And the other thing is we try to do things in Harper's that sort of complement one another, and so these numbers go very well with the previous issue, which I think is still on the newsstand, the December issue, which is the argument by Scott Horton for prosecuting Bush, Cheney, et al., for torture.
And may I ask you to keep that pressure on, because it floors me that Obama would take it off the table the way Pelosi did with impeachment.
Well, you know, it doesn't surprise me, but I was an early doubter of Obama, an early critic of Obama, especially in my new book, and I'm appalled that John Conyers, who is a good friend of mine and somebody I admire a great deal, is not pushing this harder. And I think he's being intimidated by the leadership in the House, Nancy Pelosi, and by Obama. They're telling him to just stuff it.
Well, and how do we push forward in a positive way with Obama? I'm not shocked at who he is, because I think I pretty well sized him up along the way. I certainly preferred him over Hillary, and I preferred him over McCain. And I do see the baseline here that the wrecking crew will be gone, and a lot of the negatives of the Bush administration will stop. Now, will they fix the damage? Will they actually rebuild our Constitution? Are they going to give me back my Fourth Amendment right to probable cause before they tap my frickin' phone calls? I doubt it.
Well, getting back to the Harper's Index, the first question for Obama out of the box is, is he going to close Guantanamo? Since we were just talking about Guantanamo and torture at Guantanamo, are we going to close Guantanamo, really close it, or are we just going to reform it, quote-unquote, and reopen it under a different name somewhere else? That is what my friends in the civil liberties community are afraid of, is that he's simply going to reform it, do it right, so to speak.
And you know, Cheney's tried to blow smoke about how difficult this will be, and, you know, once they get there, they won't want to pursue it. But isn't it as simple as charging the people who deserve to be charged? And if they can't charge them, they got to release them? I mean,
right, and
isn't it that?
The issue is that they would have to release hundreds of them because there's no case against them. And when they release them, you know, the right-wingers and the pro-war fanatics and some of the Democrats are going to scream at them.
Mm-hmm.
And so my fear is that he's going to take the fix Guantanamo as opposed to shut it down as an aberration and so on and so forth. But here's another thing. Can I just put in two more numbers here from the Harper's Bush Index?
You haven't stopped to captivating us, Rick. Well, so please, go right ahead. I've got time.
This is one I can't understand. Peter and I are in the same generation, I think it's fair to say. And here are two numbers which amaze me. Percentage change since 2002 in the number of U.S. teens using illegal drugs, down 9%, negative 9. Percentage change in the number of adults in their 50s doing so, 121, plus 121.
Wow.
Now, I don't know about you, Peter, but my illegal drug consumption has been going down since I was in my teen years. It's gone way down,
mm-hmm.
and I don't understand. Can you explain this to me?
I can't. No, I mean, only we've been having a little fun today because of the guilt by association that Sarah Palin used.
Right.
And now it turns out that, what's his name, the son who has not yet married the pregnant daughter, his mom got busted for OxyContin last week. So, I mean, maybe she was trying to get closer to Rush Limbaugh. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, you know, between methamphetamines and I think cocaine is pretty passe. But here in California, marijuana is still pretty widely used.
Right.
And it's quasi-legal. So I don't know. It's illegal under federal law. So I guess that some of that 121% increase is pot. But it can't be all pot.
But it's our peers in their 50s, whereas our teenage children are their use of illegal drugs is declining, according to this. So,
well, you know, I have to say, my stepson's 20; he's going to be 24.
Yeah.
And the Nancy Reagan stuff made a big impact on him.
Really?
He was inculcated with the "don't say no" culture. And as far as I know, I'm not allowed to see his Facebook page. But
okay.
As far as I know, he's a clean living young man.
Okay.
But Rick, I wanted to ask you because of the meltdown, and I went to a Christmas party over the weekend, and a friend of mine has a very good friend who was wealthy a week ago, had the entire fortune, $27 million of his family's money, parked with Bernie Madoff. And I just like to know, I mean, you come out of a wealthy family and the foundation that helps support Harper's, and I just want to make sure that they didn't made off with some of your money and that Harper's will continue in a healthy fashion in the coming years.
Well, Peter, I don't believe in the stock market. I know that's a heretical thing to say in America, but I never believed in the stock market. My grandfather and my father, being Depression people, mm-hmm. always told me, if you want to gamble, you go to Las Vegas, or you play cards. You know, you play privately, and so I've never owned stock.
Really,
and I don't believe in investment advisors. So,
mm-hmm.
my idea of an exciting investment is municipal bonds. So,
wow. Well, then you're
we're
safe.
In good shape.
Okay.
Very good shape. We're actually very strong. We're stronger than a lot of our competitors at this point.
Now, what about the magazine? Because just looking at the last two issues, you get heavy support from Toyota, from Mercedes-Benz, BMW,
yeah.
Chevrolet. The car category is sucking right now.
It's bad. And that, with the loss of tobacco advertising and the precipitous decline in alcohol, liquor advertising, makes for challenging times. However, Harper's is always, and this is my mantra, has always made people pay for the magazine. And it's the same even with our website. I won't let anybody have anything for free. You can read our blogs for free,
mm-hmm.
but everybody's got to pay. And this is important because in the internet culture, unfortunately, people want everything free, and they are tending, along with the publishers, to devalue the work that goes into writing and into preparing the Harper's Index. And I'm in an argument with a lot of my colleagues, and I say we've got to educate the consumers that this is worth money. It's worth more than a movie ticket.
Mm-hmm.
And so as a result, all our subscriptions are fully paid. And when advertising goes south, I'm not as vulnerable as some of my competitors who give away a lot of cheap or free subscriptions.
Now, Rick, I have mixed feelings when I see a full-color ad from Chevron, full-page full-color ad. On the one hand, they made egregious profits last year, and for that to support a progressive publication feels good. On the other hand, you're giving lip service to their greenwashing and the sensitive way in which they drill for oil.
You're absolutely right, and it's a contradiction that we got to live with in the United States, but let me just say that we were early in the, I think in the Harper's Index, I don't know if it's this one or somewhere else, but we had Condoleezza Rice as a, the number of tankers, oil tankers named after Condoleezza Rice, one, was a Harper's Index number way, way back, when she was, that's dating from her service on the board of directors of Chevron.
That's right.
Now, the question is, are corporations, now that they've been cut down somewhat to size, are they going to, is their arrogance going to diminish? Are they going to start fearing the public, fearing the press the way they did back in the 60s? I don't know. A lot of corporate image advertising like this is defensive. They're just putting it in magazines because they want to look like good corporate citizens and so on.
Mm-hmm.
In the 90s, I've seen this change in 25 years, they became so arrogant, they didn't care anymore. They didn't care what we thought, they didn't care what you thought, they didn't care what anyone thought anymore. They were laws unto themselves, corporate America and big finance. The question is, now that they've helped Obama get into office, because, you know, Obama got a huge amount of money from Wall Street and
yes,
from,
he did. Hedge funds.
Corporate from hedge funds.
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to feel entitled, or are they going to fear a backlash?
Mm-hmm.
It's too early to tell.
Yeah, it will be interesting. We'll take a break and return. Rick MacArthur celebrating 25 years as the publisher of Harper's Magazine. And I recommend it to you. I've been a subscriber for years, and I think it's a fabulous publication. We'll continue in just a moment. And if you have a question or comment, now's the time to call 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. You're listening to The Peter B. Collins Show.
If you like people who talk funny, listen to Stephanie Miller in the morning on AM 540 KRXA. Ha!
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way in the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
Sometimes things just make sense.
Sure, like buying a scooter when gas prices go crazy.
Or putting sharp business equipment in your office.
How does that make sense?
It makes sense to have the number one digital copier in America working for you, right?
Sure.
Well, that's how it makes sense.
I get it, but...
Here, try this.
Since 1981, this family-owned business has been about one thing, results, which is why Tri-County Business Systems is a Sharp dealer. Sharp is technology-driven. Between OSA, Open Systems Architecture, you can customize applications that promote efficient workflow. And because they're built to last, your total cost of ownership is reduced for long-term results. If you're a QuickBooks user, Sharp's OSA system allows you to quickly scan directly into your client's folder right from the machine. So call Tri-County Business Systems at 758-1474 and learn more today. Tri-County Business Systems, 758-1474. Solutions that connect with you. Tri-County Business Systems.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Cruz. Come listen to the new Jennifer Cruz Show, Saturdays at noon, where we will get into it, I-N-T-U-I-T. We'll talk about intuition, emotions, and passions, all the invisible aspects of each and every one of us that nobody talks about. The Jennifer Cruz Show is made possible by Weiland Galleries in Carmel and Water Me Well Inner Healing Apparel. Visit watermewell.com. See you Saturdays at noon on the new Jennifer Cruz Show. Remember, Saturdays at noon, only on AM 540. Get into it.
Wide open, Robinson for a three off the inbound. Two for two, Nike Robinson. Four on three,
Curry up the left side. Jamal Boykin, the open floor. Goes in and scores!
This is the voice of the Golden Bears, Roxy Bernstein, inviting you to join us for another exciting season of Cal basketball right here on your home for the Bears.
Colgate is coming to the Haas Pavilion on Monday at 7:30. They're going to give the Cal Bears a run for the win here on KRXA 540.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. I remain your humble host, Peter B. We're talking with the publisher of Harper's, Rick MacArthur. John R. MacArthur, as he's formerly known, is observing 25 years as publisher of Harper's, and his most recent book is called You Can't Be President, The Outrageous Barriers to Democracy in America. It's out in soft cover and at a very affordable price at Amazon.com today if you'd like to pick it up. And Rick, the question posed here by Springsteen off his latest CD called Magic is who'll be the last to die for a mistake. Now, it refers to Iraq, and while Obama, you know, made commitments to bring the troops home, they were always qualified. It was always about combat troops. And now we see General Odierno saying, well, I'm not going to get my orders until January. Meantime, we're planning to stay for a while. And beyond that, I'm extremely concerned about the lack of debate over our intentions to add more American troops to Afghanistan without, as Colin Powell would say, a clear mission and a clear exit strategy.
Well, it's very disturbing to me. I write about it in my book. I say, first of all, I don't believe we're getting out of Iraq. I never believed it because I think Barack Obama, in spite of his very fine speech against the war when he was a state senator, has been a go-along, get-along guy in the Senate. He voted identically with Hillary Clinton. All his important votes on war funding since he got in have been identical to Hillary Clinton's. That is to say, cautious and never trying to force the issue of a funding cutoff, except in the most symbolic terms. And the people I talk to say that he's surrounded by liberal hawks who think that we can still democratize the Middle East and that they're going to try to do the same thing in Afghanistan. You know, they're going to try to reform the Taliban and make them behave more like us, which is impossible. It's crazy. It's self-destructive. I mean, and the latest story is that we're going to double the number of troops in Afghanistan from 30 to 60,000, which means that a lot of the combat troops in Iraq will simply go to Afghanistan.
Directly.
Directly.
Well, and we're not clear about the Guard and Reserves who have been used and abused to such an incredible extent in Iraq.
No. I think more troops are going to stay in Iraq than are being advertised. We've got 14 permanent so-called bases, military bases in Iraq.
Enduring. Can you use the language,
they
please?
They keep calling them enduring bases. They have this double speak.
Haven't you gotten the talking points, Rick? Come on.
Yeah. Well, and Obama is very good at obfuscating, and he's surrounded, as I say, by these old-fashioned neoliberal hawks from the Clinton administration. Anthony Lake is the most prominent among them, and so Madeleine Albright, but mainly Anthony Lake, and who was Clinton's national security advisor. So I'm very pessimistic, and I don't understand what he's doing, because if we get bogged down in Afghanistan, we're already bogged down, but if we get deeper into a hole there and more Americans are getting killed, and believe me, the Taliban doesn't give up. Afghans have never given up in their history, and they don't like foreigners occupying their country. It's going to turn into a foreign policy disaster.
Mm-hmm.
What is he doing with Hillary Clinton, the Secretary of State? She's not only somebody who supported the invasion of Iraq, she also supported the bombing of Serbia, which was just as much a preemptive war.
I think it was just a sneaky way to get Bill Clinton's donor list.
I guess.
Rick, just in 20 seconds, our kicker question, will your Governor Patterson crown Caroline Kennedy as the senator to replace Hillary?
I hope not, because that is more anti-democratic, dynastic politics.
Yeah.
And I'd like to see either a special election, which is not going to happen, or somebody else picked.
Yeah.
But remember, the Kennedys endorsed Obama early in the campaign, and he feels like he owes her.
Rick MacArthur, his new book, You Can't Be President. He's publisher of Harper's. Merry Christmas, Rick. Thank you.
Merry Christmas. Thanks, Peter.
Great to talk to you.
Bye.
Paying $100 an hour for computer support just for the prompt to return? Hi, I'm Luke Ford, founder and CEO of My Computer Works. Whenever you have a major computer catastrophe or a simple question, give my U.S.-based computer technicians a call, and they'll remotely connect your computer and fix the problem for you. It's safe, secure, and you won't have to let a stranger into your home. Call now to receive 1 month of service free with a membership. Now let's hear from some of our satisfied customers.
They cleaned up the computer, and I sat there and watched everything going on. I was just having a ball.
So the convenience of having My Computer Works connect to my computer right then, fix it for me immediately, is priceless.
I was having a lot of major problems with my computer, and they basically evaluated the computer and went through and eliminated the problems I was having.
Call My Computer Works now, toll free, 888-629-9618. That's 888-629-9618. 888-629-9618.
My Computer Works. Does yours?
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
What won't desperate retailers do to get you into their store?
This is beyond desperation. We've moved into the madness zone.
The price of oil and gas drops some more.
Everybody is wondering, can we see $1 a gallon? Can it happen? And, you know, the answer is it probably can.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Jim Taylor. Where have all the shoppers gone? About 6 million fewer people shopping at the malls this past weekend compared to the same pre-Christmas weekend last year. So retailers are desperate. Sales of up to 75% off. Macy's keeping some of its stores open round the clock right through Christmas Eve. Some Walmarts and Toys R Us stores doing that 24-hour thing, too. And for some, it works.
I'd rather shop in the middle of the night than come here in the middle of the day.
Others aren't so sure.
I do wonder what the math is of staffing the stores with sales associates and keeping the place lit and heated in the middle of the night.
Candace Corlett, president, WSL Strategic Retail and publisher, How America Shops, says it may not matter how low prices are slashed for many of us.
This is the year when they're hitting the wall and saying, I do not need another cashmere sweater, no matter how tempting the price.
At the largest mall in America, the Mall of America in Minnesota, director of tourism Doug Killian says their cash registers are ringing from shoppers coming over the Canadian border looking for deals.
The international visitors, we've seen a small increase this year. It's affected a bit by the strengthening of the U.S. dollar.
Now this.
It's tax season. Well, technically April 15th is past, but now is the time to incorporate your business if you want to reap the tax savings and numerous benefits this year. LegalZoom makes incorporating your business easy and more affordable than ever. Over 1 million people have discovered how easy and affordable it is to use LegalZoom for important legal documents. LegalZoom isn't a law firm. They provide self-help services at your specific direction. For a special discount off most orders, enter POWER at checkout. That's LegalZoom.com.
And now, another reason to switch to Geico.
Every month we get lots of letters telling us how much folks like Geico's claim service. And I quote, the adjuster assigned to my claim was incredible. He walked me through everything. Then there's this one. Geico.com is very useful and lets you track your claims. And this. I filed a claim at 4:15 on Thursday afternoon and my car was in the shop at 10 a.m. on Friday. And my personal favorite, easy squeezy lemon peasy.
For a free rate quote, visit Geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO.
You've heard of the 100-year flood. That's how Toyota characterizes the world of hurt we find ourselves in right now. Reporter Jeff Gilbert on that company's first ever operating loss.
Toyota says the change in the world economy is of a magnitude that comes every 100 years, with sales falling far faster, wider, and deeper than expected. Toyota sales are down by a third here in the U.S., and emerging markets are weaker than expected. Toyota's also hurt by a less favorable exchange rate. Entering this fiscal year, Toyota was expecting to make $13 billion. Jeff Gilbert, CBS News, Detroit.
We are all affected by the downturn of the economy. Seems like we all know someone or some family where someone is laid off or suffering some kind of cutback. But economist Peter Morici tells us some businesses are finding ways to cut back without laying off.
Some companies are asking workers to work one less day a week or 4 or 5 hours less per week until demand picks up. Others are cutting back pay, in particular executive pay.
It's a tale being told across America right now. Despite your best attempts to keep your home, you find yourself facing foreclosure. Just when you're ready to give up hope, it turns out there is a place to turn for help and hope.
Maquita Fell's Germantown, Maryland home.
It is my life.
And her life was falling apart when she fell behind on her mortgage payments. She called the toll-free Hope Now hotline and counselor Nadia Casey intervened.
Looking at her existing budget, and then we also proposed a new budget for her.
A new report shows while there were 70,000 foreclosures last month, this program prevented more than 200,000 others restructuring mortgages like Maquita's.
I had two mortgages, so I'm only paying on the larger one now. So that's why I'm able to afford it.
Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
There is a lot of crisis going on.
We are in a housing crisis, a credit crisis. You know, all of the capital that it took to drive energy prices higher has gone away.
Phil Flynn, Aileron Trading, he's explaining the continuing drop in the cost of a barrel of crude, dipping below $40 today.
If the economy doesn't start turning around, you know, we could be talking, you know, late 90 lows of, just above $10 and below $11 a barrel.
Which, he says, could actually translate to dollar a gallon of gas. Maybe. Sledding in Seattle. Worst weather the Northwest has seen in years. There is more than 40 inches of snow on the ground in parts of New England, too. Temperatures in parts of the upper Midwest in single digits right now. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Honey, come on. We've got last-minute shopping to do.
Let's go to
Lowe's Last-Minute Extravaganza!
A bullhorn?
Sorry. But this Thursday through Christmas Eve, we'll get 10% off major appliances, $397 or more.
Oh.
Plus, we can register for a free $10 online certificate with purchase of $100 in Lowe's gift cards and get 10% off all wet dry vacs and Kobalt tool storage chests.
Let's go to Lowe's.
I'll start the car!
Ugh.
Do your last-minute shopping at Lowe's this weekend to get 50% off holiday decorations. Lowe's, let's build something together. While supplies last, some restrictions apply. See store for details.
If someone you know would love a quality Swiss watch for the holidays, go to Jarrett, the Galleria of Jewelry. As you might expect from the store that has five times the selection of ordinary jewelry stores, you'll find an outstanding collection with brands like Tag Heuer, Movado, Tissot, and many more. But unlike stores that carry just a few models, Jarrett always has the latest styles of the brands you want.
It can only be Jarrett!
Find a Jarrett store or shop anytime at Jarrett.com.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Constitutional lawyer Bruce Fine will join us later this hour. But right now, it's Cliff Schechter, the author of The Real McCain, one of our regular contributors here on the PBC show. Happy holidays, Cliff.
You too, Peter. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. I unloaded this tune called Amnesia from Chumbawamba just because I like the tune. But I was thinking that a year ago, this week, we were taking a break from the Iowa caucuses and the run-up to that. We had just learned the date of the New Hampshire primary, and it appeared that Hillary Clinton was on a cakewalk to the Democratic nomination. Remember that?
When you look back, isn't it?
Yeah, can you remember all that way back?
You go back at that point, John Edwards still had a viable political career.
Yeah.
I hate to say it like that, but hopefully he'll come back.
Well, it is sad to put it that way. I was, it's interesting because I have always, in the last two cycles, I have supported Dennis Kucinich in the early going on an ideal basis. And when the pragmatism took over that he doesn't really have a chance of even winning a state, much less garnering the nomination, then I would move to my second choice. And John Edwards was my second choice.
Yeah.
And it was so frustrating that he withdrew just a week before the California primary because I was going to vote for him.
Yeah, I was. You know, I actually was sort of it was a tie for me. I was a Edwards and Dodd guy. So I liked what both of them were saying. And the same thing, yeah, just like what you're saying, back in 2004, you know, it was sort of I was an Edwards, West Clark, Dean guy. I mean, you know, it seems I always have to go for a few.
Yeah.
It is a shame. Hopefully he'll be back. But in your general point, when you look at everything that went on, you know, where we were back then, I knew a few people who were courageously saying that somebody else had a chance, that Edwards had a chance in Iowa, which in the end he ended up barely losing to Obama, I think. But I know he beat Hillary, as I remember. And,
I think you're right. Yeah.
And you know, there are other people who were saying that they thought Obama had a chance, and everybody was just saying that absolutely not. You know, the usual. We're not ready for that kind of a president, and you know, of course, what they meant.
Mm-hmm.
And so, it is a pretty amazing place we're in. And I think of the whole year and all the hoopla, all the silliness and everything, and it is hard to believe it's only been 1 year.
And I still have not figured out whether John Edwards withdrew because he didn't do as well as he'd hoped in Iowa. He bet the whole ranch on that. Or if he knew that the mistress thing was going to surface and that he just was resigned to that and, you know, didn't want to risk anything any further.
Right. Well, you may remember, if you were hearing the rumors, too, and I know I was and read in a couple of reputable places that the line was that reporters had a scandal on somebody, a personal scandal that would change the dynamic of the race. But they were very hesitant to report on it for a variety of reasons. And I heard that almost as early as, I think, New Hampshire.
Yeah.
And obviously with Edwards. I didn't know who. You could kind of guess. I mean, I didn't know if it was on the Democratic or the Republican side, so you kind of had to look at the top few contenders on each side. Certainly,
well,
from what I knew about John McCain, I knew it could be him. But I wasn't sure, so.
Well, somebody needs to write the definitive book of this campaign, and I'm nominating Cliff Schechter.
Well,
because
thank you. That's not a bad idea.
I think there is a lot of you know, interesting, kind of intricate information. But, for example, the way the press operated and the way that there was this buzz about negative information. And was it Reverend Wright? Was it Bill Ayers? Was it the Edwards love child? We don't even know if that's his child, so I don't want to go there, but it was an affair. It is interesting to see the way those issues played out. And we know from reporters who we've talked to that it was the Clinton campaign shopping the Bill Ayers story as early as last December, right about this time, and nobody picked it up.
But eventually, those things have a way of doing, somebody gets it pushed out into the media because it's not that difficult these days with all the, you know, with the right, obviously, it's perfected, but I think people on the left can now get stuff out there, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you put it in a few places that a lot of people read where the standards aren't quite as high or other places like that, and eventually you may get around to being picked up by the mainstream media. They obviously did that to Clinton, you know, ad nauseum in the 90s with a whole host of silly stories. So, and we heard, you know, there were a lot of other rumors, and you didn't know if the media was going to report on it. There was the whole Sarah Palin story with whether the baby was hers or her daughter.
Yeah. Vanity Fair did a fascinating thing online where, you know, was it Trig? I get the kids mixed up, Trig or Track.
Why would you get them mixed up? Because it's Trig, Track, Trock, Truk.
Oh, no, wait a minute. It has to be the girl. It's Bristol, right? Bristol's the pregnant one?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
I think the boys probably couldn't be.
And her the alleged father of Bristol's alleged baby, his name is Ivan, right, or something like that?
God, I should know. What's his name? Oh, no, isn't it Levi?
Levi, there you go.
Yeah, there we go.
So we learned in the past week that Levi's mom got busted on a drug beef, and turns out, at least I've seen one report, that it was not meth, which is what, the Wasilla area is known as the meth capital of Alaska.
That's its calling card, if you will.
But apparently it was Rush Limbaugh's favorite deafness-inducing painkiller, OxyContin.
That's right. It's his doctor shopping pleasure pill.
Yeah.
That's, yeah, the great Rush Limbaugh. That's right. Well, that who knows? That may become a Republican theme.
Well, and, you know, I don't take any pleasure in that. It's only a neener thing to try to get back a little bit for the way she used guilt by association and the pal around with Bill Ayers line. I had the chance to talk to Bill Ayers about a month ago, and, in fact, we're going to replay that over, I think it'll happen on January 2nd. But it was a powerful interview. I mean, I came away really respecting this man, and to see his name dragged out there, and to see the tactics that she and, you know, in some cases McCain used on him, it's just so shameful. And the media gleefully reported, dished up all this dirt, and didn't bother to really, you know, explain the facts. No, you know,
who he was and actually what he really did and how he had, you know, shown a lot of contrition for what happened. You're 100% right. And it's amazing that these people that don't choose to be in the public eye but are thrust there. In a way, you know, listen, I just made a joke, and maybe I should apologize for it, because I don't know anything about, you know, this kid Levi's mom, and I don't know that she's a bad person, and I don't know that, frankly, she deserves her personal business even to be out here, except for the fact that there's the Palin connection, but we don't know that she's anything like Sarah Palin. Mm-hmm. So it is kind of a shame when people are, you know, and that's what happened to Ayers. His name was just constantly dragged through the mud, and yet there was never, you know, sound bites don't have a time to for a full description of what actually occurred. You only have the 30-second Sean Hannity version.
All right, then we're going to show unexpected class here, Cliff. And we're going to formally apologize. I've got the chorus ready to go here to Sarah Palin, the governor of Alaska, Bristol, her daughter, Levi, the dude, maybe the dad, and Levi's mom.
Excuse me.
All right, we took care of that. And,
I wanted to jump in quickly and say my apology extends to Levi and his mom and to Bristol, not to Sarah Palin. Sorry, after you accuse Obama of palling around with terrorists, there's simply nothing that I'll apologize to her for ever.
Yeah. Now, given the way the media operated, and it was shameful on so many levels, now let's ricochet with a little look at the future. In the New York Times on Monday, it's reported that Fred Thompson is going to take over Bill O'Reilly's radio slot, and he edged out Rudy Giuliani.
So it was the second primary.
America loses, no matter. And apparently Mike Huckabee is trying some sort of a radio show, too.
Where was Alan Keyes when they needed him?
Oh, God.
Couldn't find a couple other Republican losers to fit in there? I guess that means that Fred isn't planning on running for president, because we already know that Mitt is already putting aside the $300 million he'll need to convince people that he's not all just a hair puppet.
Yeah.
Like Blagojevich. And
well, we just have to hope that Mitt didn't have his fortune parked with Bernie Madoff.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah, hopefully he was smart enough not to do that. But, you know, the talk radio game appears to be static, where we're going to remain the underdogs here on a 9-to-1 basis. But what about the corporate media? It is a glimmer of hope to see Rachel Maddow relatively unrestrained. I mean, you could critique her show for some of the things that aren't covered. But the things she covers, I think she does in a full-throated, progressive way. And there's no indication that there's a leash on her. Olbermann remains too much of a sports jock for me, but there are moments on that show that are truly brilliant and very critical from a left perspective. But that's really about it. Do you think that we will see a shift in the media? And do you think that Obama will get a honeymoon?
Well, I think Obama already has gotten somewhat of a honeymoon, and obviously there are some of these idiots that are trying to do whatever they can. You know, again, you've got what was I reading? One of these guys, I think it was of Town Hall, Matt Lewis maybe is his name, who was trying to make Hawaii out not to really be a state. You know, the whole exotic Hawaii thing again. And so there are some of these guys that they wouldn't give Obama anything, and they'll go after him. But I have to give some credit to some others who are at least saying, let's give this a chance. I mean, hell, I know he's doing it for personal reasons, but none other than Newt Gingrich chastised the RNC for going after him.
Mm-hmm.
So there is some of that, but when you talk about the future of the media, it's hard to figure out, because we know that Phil Donahue's show didn't go off the air because the ratings weren't good. It went off the air because he was against Iraq, and they decided enough was enough with that. So my concern is there's obviously a huge market out there. I don't think Olbermann and Rachel Maddow, even with what they do, begin to take you know, to tap that market. There's a lot more potential there. If think of how many silly right-wing shows there are on, and then here you've got a couple of very, you know, intelligent progressives. There's others, obviously, you know, who could be doing even more. Mm-hmm. But I think the market would dictate that there would be more. But my question then becomes, you know, are people at these large corporations that, you know, own the media among 50,000 other properties, are they going to be willing to do that?
Yeah.
And I'm not necessarily sanguine that they are.
Right. I think that's a good position. Not necessarily sanguine.
I took a strong stand on that one.
You know, one of my favorite constructions is Condoleezza Rice likes to say that it's not inconsequential, which means it's better than nothing, but not really something that you can measure. Well, that's a not inconsequential moment. Anyway, it just occurred to me. We'll take a break and regroup here. Continue with Cliff Schechter in just a moment. You want to comment? We'll take your call. 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. The Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540. Progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry for 35 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place before your first oral examination. He interviews every new patient so he understands what is important to you, and because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Slow down. You move too fast. You got to make the morning last.
Hello, I'm Barbara Mossberg. You know you move too fast. And I'm inviting you to join me Sundays to slow down for our poetry hour. Here's the lowdown on our poetry hoedown. Meet me at high noon, and we'll make the morning last right here on KRXA 540.
What you know when I've come to work.
Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero & Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero & Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000 mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero & Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero & Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero & Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero & Shell. Putting the service back in service stations.
Hi, I'm Carolani.
Good Vibrations, Tools for Transformation, is being preempted by sports programming on Saturdays in December. We'll run encore presentations of some of your favorite shows on the Internet. So tune in.
Good Vibrations.
Saturdays from 7 to 9 p.m.
on AM 540 KRXA.
The patient's not responding to the treatment.
I know. That imaginary jingle telling him to go where again?
Coffeetopia.
I've seen this condition before. It is very contagious.
What happened?
Nothing really. Everyone had a cup of coffee and a bagel. Speaking of which, let's go have a cup.
Where should we go?
Coffee, coffee, coffeetopia.
What was that?
And so, it begins again.
For the best coffee, tea, or smoothies in the Monterey Bay Area, visit Coffeetopia. With three locations in Santa Cruz, 3701 Portola Drive near Pleasure Point, 1723 Mission Street on the west side, and the newest Coffeetopia at 1443 Capitola Road in the Live Oak area. Coffeetopia is also the oldest internet cafe in Santa Cruz, with wireless and by-the-minute computer stations. Other places use ice as fillers for their smoothies, but not Coffeetopia. They use all fruit and juices when making their delicious smoothies, and they also feature tropical, high-energy, acai smoothies, bagels, and fresh baked goods.
Coffee, coffee, Coffeetopia.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. 23 minutes after the hour, we're talking with Cliff Schechter, the author of The Real McCain. It's still out there and available for holiday giving. And Cliff, you mentioned just before we took the break that the Obamas are on a two-week vacation, certainly well-earned, in Hawaii, and that during the campaign that was played up as exotic, you know, like he'd gone to Thailand or, you know, even the Caribbean. But I've actually been to Kailua many times. My friend Billy grew up there, and he got married on the beach there 10 or 12 years ago. I had pre-sunrise sex on that beach right where Obama is staying one time. I won't forget that.
Well done.
So it's a beautiful area, and I wish them the best on their vacation. But still, you can imagine that McCain is, you know, taking a vacation in Hot Springs, Arkansas, and saying, well, that's what an American would do.
That's right. You know, it's so unpatriotic to go to a place such as Hawaii.
Yeah.
Where apparently, as I said, this guy who was on, I guess, from Town Hall, seemed to not know that it was a state in the United States.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, it's one of those basic geographical things you should probably learn when you're in, the third grade.
Well, I was also in Kailua on New Year's of 1988 when the town flooded. And it was interesting to see everybody come together. And it was unlike, I mean, it was just like any other American community. It could have been in, you know, Detroit or Cincinnati or even Columbus.
Yeah, it's just silly. I mean, look, the guy, first of all, he grew up, he spent part of his life growing up there and has, you know, until recently had family there. I'm not sure if he still does after his grandmother passed away. But
right.
I think he still has, let's say I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But whether he has family there or not, and whether that means it's more comfortable to him or not, where's the big deal here? You know,
yeah.
he's vacationing in Hawaii, so you can vacation anywhere. Hell, he doesn't own 10 houses, so you know, maybe he has to go off the mainland to go stay somewhere.
Yeah, well, and also they're making a point that he got a really ritzy property. He's staying in a $9 million house that was once the castle of a guy named Castle of Castle and Cook fame. They developed all the sugar operations there in Hawaii. And so I think Castle also helped develop the town of Kailua. But he's getting the royal treatment there, and frankly, I don't begrudge him at all. I think he certainly needs some rest and relaxation because, man, day one is going to be quite a day, and there won't be any rest for many days after.
Well, that's true. First of all, he's in a huge mess due to what George W. Bush accomplished in his our favorite evil man, Dick Cheney, as we were reminded on Sunday, because remember, when the president does anything during war, it's legal.
You bet.
Did we hear that before?
Yeah, Nixon.
Right. So there's that element to it, that he's going to clean up the mess, which is what we do, kind of like what Bill Clinton did after the Reagan-Bush years. We clean up their messes. And this one's even bigger, of course, because you've got foreign policy and domestic messes. But on top of all that, I mean, this obsession with going after him for anything,
mm-hmm.
And trying to be elitist. And I feel like some of this that comes into this, again, I think of the word that one congressman from Georgia, was it Westmoreland, used when he called him uppity.
Yeah.
I thought that was okay.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like all that stuff is still infused in this. None of this stuff is ever a big deal. And let's keep in mind that George Bush, what was the final percentage? He was on vacation 43% of the time he was in office. So Obama,
somewhere in that. It was over 1,000 days, yeah.
Yeah, if Obama spends 43% of his time in Hawaii, then maybe I'll complain.
Mm-hmm.
Until he does that, I think I'll be pretty happy with where things are going for now, even if I don't agree with every decision that he's made and everybody, you know, the entire cabinet, you know, I'm still going to give the guy a chance and see what he does.
Yeah, and, you know, I understand why people are upset about Rick Warren. I don't like what he stands for in terms of gays and lesbians and plenty of other issues. But my only real disappointment is that he didn't take the moment to let Jeremiah Wright deliver the invocation with Bill Ayer standing right next to him. That's
that
what I was rooting for.
Fantastic.
And we could rewrite the quote. God damn, America, you elected an African-American president.
That's true. That would have been a lot of fun, wouldn't it?
And briefly, what about Caroline Kennedy as the next U.S. senator from New York? She did come out in favor of same-sex marriage, which puts her to the left of Obama and many others.
She's come out with a very progressive platform. I understand people's complaints, you know, when they say we're not a nation and we shouldn't be of royalty, but let's be honest. Lincoln, Chafee, Murkowski on the Democratic side, you can find plenty too. It just is what it is. Name recognition and money are what matter. She's got name recognition, she's got money, and the most important thing to me is a progressive platform and someone who can get reelected. And I think that she's one of those people. So it doesn't mean that I think it should be her, but I don't have this aversion to it being her because
Cliff,
I understand.
Cliff, let me stop there to wish you a very happy holiday and best of luck.
Thanks, man.
All right, take care. That's Cliff Schechter.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. Meanwhile, in Japan, this is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Meanwhile, in Japan, can these reports be correct?
Toyota Motor Corporation announced this afternoon in Tokyo that it would be at an operating loss.
Toyota? Losing money?
And they didn't even give a forecast for next year.
Even Toyota doesn't know if they can break even next year?
If Toyota is saying that they're barely breaking even, we can expect it to be a pretty dismal year for the rest of the automakers.
Now, we already knew it was a dismal year for automakers, but what we've also been hearing is that a big reason for the dismal year, at least for U.S. automakers, was that basically they weren't like Toyota. Democrats have generally blamed bad management, and Republicans have generally blamed greedy unions.
Yet their union labor agreements absolutely equally on par with the transplants that exist here in the country.
In other words, get the salaries paid by U.S. companies in line with what Toyota pays. All of this has made us feel, how can I say this, inferior. But now, even Toyota is recording an operating loss. Income below expenses. Toyota's not near bankruptcy. It can pay its bills, but despite doing everything right for the first time in 71 years, its income has fallen below its expenses. I realize knowing this doesn't actually change anything, but at least we don't have to feel quite so much like idiots anymore.
The financial crisis, the dollar going everywhere, all these are outside Toyota's control.
Exactly. Now this.
Okay, everybody, let's get started. Wait, where's Jim with the Q1 marketing plan?
Well, sir, not sure, but he's been acting kind of strange lately.
Hiya, gang! Sorry I'm late. I was at Office Max stocking up on Secret Santa gifts. Ha ha! All right, who's up for some eggnog, huh?
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Oh, no. He's gone elf.
Office Max is your headquarters for the holidays. And, of course, don't forget to elf yourself at elfyourself.com. This week only, get an Nikon P60 8-megapixel digital camera for $119.99. See store for details while supplies last.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Debbie LaSala from LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli at 250 Casa Verde Way in Monterey. Buy Right has been a family-owned Monterey Bay treasure since 1938. Hungry for delicious sandwiches? Join the many LaSala regulars who love our tasty, hearty sandwiches prepared with fresh-baked Palermo bread. Eat in or grab on the run at LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli. Whatever your choice, we at LaSala's will greet you with Mon Pa hospitality and truly awesome meals. And remember, sandwich trays are also available for meetings and parties. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli is located on the west side of Highway 1, exiting at 250 Casa Verde Way and going just past the first stop sign. For more information, call 372-6824. That's 372-6824. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli, a Mon Pa treasure at your service for 70 years.
Go ahead, take a deep breath. Yeah, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system, your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there, and who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hamble, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, working on a little project called Constitutional Counter-Revolution.
Love is a burning thing, and it makes a fiery ring. Bound by wild desire, I fell into a ring of fire. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire.
Coming up next hour, we're going to take a look at the sudden death by airplane accident of Mike Connell, a high-level computer guru for Bush and Roe, and he died Friday night in a plane crash in Ohio, and he had been deposed regarding the shenanigans of the 2004 election for president in Ohio just the day before our November elections this year in 2008. So it's a fascinating story. We'll be talking to Brad Friedman, Harvey Wasserman from Columbus, who is on the West Coast this week, and also the attorney who deposed Mike Connell. His name is Cliff Arnebeck. He'll be with us next hour. Joining me now is Bruce Fine. He served in the Reagan administration at the Justice Department and also over at the Federal Communications Commission. He was on the Clinton impeachment team, and he is a staunch supporter of our Constitution, and that's where he and I think alike. His recent book, Constitutional Peril, is subtitled The Life and Death Struggle for Our Constitution and Democracy. And what you'll see on the cover if you go to a bookstore or look at it online is a warning sticker. That's where the title is labeled here on the front of the book, and it says, warning, death and serious injury can occur. And Bruce has been trying to raise these issues as a principled Republican for several years now. Bruce, thanks for joining us today.
Well, thank you for inviting me again. These are utterly vital issues.
Indeed. And I wanted to just convey greetings from our mutual friend Tom Campbell.
Oh, yes. He was a close colleague at the Justice Department and then the Trade Commission and then in Congress. So I return with warmest affections those greetings.
Well, he was on our program Friday because I looked high and low, and he's the only principled Republican I could find regarding the budget crisis here in California.
Yeah.
And at his own risk. I mean, he's declared that he wants to run for governor in 2010, and he has incurred the wrath of the entire Republican establishment and Grover Norquist by saying that this is an emergency and we got to raise taxes. And, Bruce, I won't draw you into this for long, but I'm just curious of your view of the way California legislators have a higher loyalty to the pledge they made to Grover Norquist to never, ever, ever, ever raise taxes. And this state is going down the tubes. I mean, we're going to run out of cash in February, and they left for the holiday break without addressing it in any way, shape, or form because of minority rule, and it's the Republicans who simply say, no, we will not raise taxes. We don't care what happens.
Well, anything that is fixed and rigid is going to run into adverse consequences. Every piece of wisdom is matters of degree and balance, and to just stick your head in the sand is ridiculous. Everyone has to be open to argument and change circumstances, and it's irresponsible simply to leave town, and if they have a strong argument, then put it up. And the way democracy is supposed to work is you have your say, you vote on it, and then you accept the results and move on.
Mm-hmm.
You can continue the debate, but it's not to try to take issues off the table. That's one of the problems I have in the Congress. Is the leader, speaker says you can't debate impeachment, you can't debate censure or filibuster prevents votes on, you know, judges or otherwise. Well, that's not the way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You have a right to have your full say and to persuade the other side But the whole idea of democracy is after everyone has their say, then you vote and you make decisions.
Mm-hmm. And I appreciate that because, like you, I reject obstructionism no matter where it comes from.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, we have very serious issues here. And as the Republicans held fast through the traditional budget process, I was relatively patient with that because I do respect the view of small government, low-tax Republicans. Unfortunately, they haven't walked the talk in a long time, and so it's hard to really, reconcile that with the current reality.
No, and in fact, the way the politics is supposed to work is if you believe the principles, you have your say. Then you permit a vote. If you lose, then you go campaign and say the people who voted for this were wrong-headed.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you are persuasive with the people, then you'll get elected and you can change things. After all, when the legislature acts, it's not enshrined in granite. It's always subject to revision. And the way in which you go to the people if you think you were outvoted in an incorrect way is to persuade them the next election cycle to throw out the rascals. And if you lose on that score, perhaps you were not as persuasive as you thought you were.
Mm-hmm. So, Bruce Fine, as we've seen this parade of exit interviews and the Karen Hughes-Karl Rove project to spin the history of the Bush administration, it has been stunning to me to see both the president and the vice president bluntly acknowledge some of the things that you and I have been complaining about and taking serious issue with under constitutional rule for several years now. And I want to go right to the heart of this, the statement that Cheney made, that I believe it was in an interview with the Washington Times, that he took an oath on January 20th of 2001 to protect and defend the country from enemies, foreign and domestic. And he left out, he used the dot, dot, dot for the most important part of the oath that he took. He did not take an oath to defend the people or the nation. He took an oath to defend the Constitution.
That is right, and what he did is he declared war on the Constitution. He betrayed his oath from the outset. And I think one of the most frightening things that he said, in part because it didn't arouse alarm, was that after 9/11, you know, the president doesn't have to go to Congress, he doesn't have to go to the courts, he doesn't ask anybody to initiate war. He can do whatever he wants when it comes to saving the countries as under the commander-in-chief issue. Now, that statement sounds like it's out of King George III. And if you can indulge me, Peter, I just want to get your audience knowing how flagrantly violative of the Constitution that statement is. And
mm-hmm.
let me just read you from those who are drafting the Constitution what they thought about executive initiation of warfare. This is John Jay. He served as the first Chief Justice of the United States. And he's writing in Federalist Number 4. He says, executives will make war whenever they have a prospect of getting anything by it. Nay, absolute monarchs will often make war when their nations are to get nothing by it. But for purposes and objects merely personal, such as a thirst for military glory, revenge for personal affront, ambition, or private compacts to aggrandize or support their particular families or partisans. And then we have James Madison, the father of the Constitution, sitting in the first Congress, later a president during the War of 1812, which was authorized by Congress. And he writes to Thomas Jefferson, the author of the Declaration of Independence, "The Constitution supposes what the history of all governments demonstrate, that the executive is the branch of power most interested in war and most prone to it. It has accordingly, with studied care, vested the question of war in the legislature." And then we have what happened when they actually were in the presidency. At the War of 1812, James Madison left to Congress the decision to declare war, in which he writes, "It was a solemn question which the Constitution wisely confines to the legislative department." When Thomas Jefferson wanted to war against the Barbary pirates for preventing our shipping in what we now call the Middle East, he got 10 congressional statutes authorizing him use military action against the Barbary pirates. So the record is unequivocal. No reasonable person can read the constitutional history, the language, and not understand only the legislature can authorize the initiation of warfare. The founding fathers uniformly believed that permanent war would ensue with an executive because he has all the incentive to contrive danger, because during war he gets the power, he gets the secrecy, he gets the fame and the patriotism and whatever. And yet we have a vice president saying, no, the Constitution is the opposite of what it means.
This is really in the world of Humpty Dumpty on an issue of grave importance, and it's hardly academic.
Yeah.
You could imagine, what about Iran? Are we saying that the president can initiate war in Iran on his own? Congress has no say. The people who are going to sacrifice their lives and limbs have no say in this decision. The president does it unilaterally. That is what kings did in Great Britain. That was a prime cause of having a revolution. We wanted to get away from kingly government.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're back to where we started out in 1776. And the American people in the media sort of just shrugged their shoulders. It's really quite astonishing to me.
And Bruce, do you recall the moment of honesty from Senator Warner? And I place it in the summer of 2006, but I could be a little off, where he said, you know, candidly, the authorization to use military force that we passed is no longer applicable to Iraq because it's not a war, it's an occupation.
Yeah.
And he did talk about going forward with a bill to try to reauthorize or to authorize an occupation instead of military action. But it quickly fell by the wayside. But that was one of those moments, and I respect Senator Warner for bringing that up at some political risk. Because I think it was true. And we've seen both Republicans and Democrats just kind of paper over that and say, well, who cares, you know?
Well, it's actually, that was a bold move on Senator Warner's part. But, Peter, the situation is worse than that. Because the authorization that the Congress delegated, and I underscore the word delegated to the president to decide whether to initiate war, was unconstitutional in the first place.
Yeah.
It is just like the U.S. Supreme Court has held. The president cannot enjoy line item veto authority because the Congress delegates it to it. The Congress must decide on what bills it wants to appropriate funds for and whatnot. It can't delegate it to the president. The 2002 resolution, which was architected, by the way, none other than our Vice President-elect Joe Biden, says in substance, Mr. President, you decide whether you think you need to invade Iraq. We are too weak and cowardly to make the decision for ourselves, so you decide it, and then if you botch it, we'll criticize you, and then we can shield ourselves from criticism because we handed the ball off.
Yeah.
That's precisely the kind of delegation the Founding Fathers abhorred. It's unconstitutional. And I have suggested in a column that was written for the Washington Times that if Obama really wants to extricate himself from Iraq without accepting blame, he simply announces, I'm sorry, the current occupation is unconstitutional unless Congress within 30 days forces me by statute to continue combat troops there. I'm going to remove them all, subject to the ensuring their safety and withdrawal. And I have no doubt, Peter, Congress would not vote to continue the war. They wouldn't because they don't get fame, they don't get secrecy, mm-hmm. they don't get the benefits of spending money and that sort of thing. And that's exactly what the Founding Fathers anticipated, why they wanted to lodge such a momentous decision as war, only in the legislative branch that didn't have the conflict of interest.
These are fundamental
issues that are being totally ignored by the mainstream media and by Congress itself.
Yeah, I agree with you. The war powers issue is very contentious. It has been fuzzed up beyond definition, and it really needs to be addressed. But let me mention this, because our friend Dean Campbell, when he was on with me on Friday, we mostly talked about the budget issues here in California, but we did reference his work before he left the Congress when he sued President Clinton over the use of American forces in Bosnia, the former Yugoslavia. And then Campbell went on to say that he felt good about the way this war went because Bush did have an act of Congress. But I tend to agree with you, and you guys are both better schooled in the law than I am, but my sense is that you're correct, that this was not a clear authorization. It was an abdication of the constitutional responsibility of the Congress.
Yes, it certainly, I mean, I would agree with Tom, and it's better to have at least Congress say something, even if it's give it away, than to just simply be ignored in toto, which is what happened with Clinton in Bosnia. That is, he sought congressional authorization, he didn't get it, and then he just went ahead on his own. Now, I think that it's still unconstitutional what was done in the Iraq case, but I suppose it's a marginal improvement, but in both cases, unconstitutional.
Yeah, we're going to take a break and return with Bruce Fine. We'll talk more about our joint project here, Constitutional Counter-Revolution. If you have a question or comment, give us a call toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. This is the Peter B. Collins Show, produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
We all know the economy's experiencing some rough times, but some people seem to thrive, even in tougher times than this. Want to own their secrets for yourself? Now you can dissolve away your own barriers and blocks to prosperity and success in life despite negative circumstances. Attend a very special transformational two-day event in beautiful Asilomar. The Monterey Center, your one stop for mind, body, spirit wellness, proudly presents How to Prosper and Flourish with international personal transformation and success leader Rinaldo R. Robles. Coming to the Monterey Peninsula in Asilomar for 2 days only on Saturday, January 31st and February 1st, 2009. Seating is limited. Call now to 831-641-9812 to reserve your ticket to success at Inspiring Asilomar Conference Grounds today. Call 831-641-9812. That number again, 641-9812.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, the holiday season. Poinsettias, holiday bouquets, centerpieces, garland, the scent of pine and spruce. Beautiful. Nothing gets a body and the spirit more than getting flowers, unless it's giving them. Just ask the floral experts at Ferrari Florists and Gifts. Every year, we're as busy as elves helping people send their happiest wishes to friends, family, and colleagues. Everybody loves a gift of flowers. We sure can work some holiday magic to spruce up your home, too.
Tis the season to send flowers and warm hearts for the holidays. Call Ferrari Florist and Gifts at 831-460-7000. Visit our website at www.ferrariflorist.com or stop by our shop at 514 Front Street, Santa Cruz. Ferrari Florist and Gifts, experts in the art of expression.
Painting, serving Monterey Peninsula and the Big Sur Coast. Quality paint jobs and green painting solutions are fast and affordable. Call 667-2144. For a free estimate, call 667-2144. That's 667-2144. I'm Don Dickman. When quality counts, let us protect your investment. You're in good hands.
With Don Dickman Painting.
We're at www.dondickmanpainting.com.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, now live in Boston on AM 1510. Our program today is sponsored by the Organic Wine Company. Wash down those organic foods and vegetables with organic wine from France. Log on to ecowine.com/Peter B for the free delivery offer. Check it out. We continue with Bruce Fein. His most recent book is a great read and an important treatise on our Constitution. It's called Constitutional Peril, and I've got the hardcover copy. When's this paperback coming out, Bruce?
I think it'll be sometime next year,
okay.
Probably around the spring.
So, Bruce, it's interesting. We led off the show today with Marjorie Cohn from the National Lawyers Guild, and she comes from the left, like me, but arrives at the same place as you regarding the Constitution, regarding Dick Cheney's outrageous statements and blunt admissions of wrongdoing. And given the way the Obama administration has postured and the senator himself has said that he doesn't want a partisan witch hunt to, take the first part of his administration, I really think we need to form a post-partisan group of people who really want to return to constitutional rule, because I don't think that the Democrats will be any more receptive than the Republicans were to the issues about our Fourth Amendment rights under the FISA law, the issues about rendition. We have not heard Obama repudiate the signing statements in principle, and there are many other constitutional issues. The ACLU has an 84-page agenda of trying to return us to constitutional guidelines. So where do you think we need to go as a nation and as an activist public to really pressure the Democrats who now control the House and have, you know, they're close to 60 votes, and with some Republican support on many issues, they'll get it, but also the Obama administration. How can we move these issues forward to repair the damage that has been done and restore our constitutional values?
Well, I'd first like to make this observation that people describe enforcing the Constitution as a partisan witch hunt. I mean, it's not a partisan witch hunt. It's enforcing the Constitution, which is totally a neutral, ideologically neutral position to take. It's not pro-Democrat or pro-Republican or pro-independent. In fact, it's the duty we all have as Americans, and a duty that every member of the Congress and the executive branch has to uphold and to honor. Now, I certainly agree with the general observation that Obama, in my judgment, quite foolishly and irresponsibly has said, in substance, he'll just ignore all the Bush-Cheney abuses and violations and, in some sense, maybe even better the instruction. I'm certain that there are programs that didn't leak to the newspapers under Bush and Cheney that he probably knows about and isn't going to volunteer them. He's not renounced executive privilege. He's not said, I'm not going to hold people without accusation or charge at Guantanamo. He's really said nothing other than that he probably will move the location of the detainees at Guantanamo Bay to some other place. But the problem isn't where they're residing, but why they're under detention whatsoever when they've not been accused of any crime.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to know the best recruiting ground for Al-Qaeda, it's two places, Guantanamo and Abu Ghraib.
Yeah.
And that's an assessment made by those who have been fighting and interrogating detainees on the battlefield in Iraq and Afghanistan. They know what they're talking about. They know the resentment that these abuses are breeding and making us less safe. Now, what can we do as citizens to try to rectify this and give some backbone into the invertebrate Congress? Really, it's really nothing more than making clear, as was done, I know, on the first day of the vote on the bailout in the House, which failed because everyone was sending emails, writing faxes and phone calls. You just have to go in and pummel members of Congress. Unless you do this, we are going to vote you out of office. It doesn't seem very complicated, but I saw it work in action on that Monday that the bailout failed. And you have to get the people aroused and awakened to the danger so that they have the energy and they have the inclination to exert themselves.
Mm-hmm.
That's how democracies work. And it sometimes it looks bleak at the outset. It took many, many decades to end slavery, to bring women's franchise or whatever. But we can't give up simply because right now it's an uphill battle.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how democracy works, Peter.
Yeah.
And in some sense, the reason why we're in this plight is because the people have been inert. Of all the bad things Cheney and Bush have done, most of them have not been secret. They've come out ultimately, and we know about them and view them with indifference. Let me just read you. To me, it's unbelievable. This statement of Dick Cheney that he made on TV yesterday, and why, if we had any Congress with gumption, he would be impeached today. This is the statement he makes as follows. It says, the president is accompanied at all times by a military aide carrying a football that contains launch codes for nuclear weapons. And he continues, Cheney, the president could launch the kind of devastating attack the world has never seen. He doesn't have to check with anybody. He doesn't have to call the Congress. He doesn't have to check with the courts. He has that authority not because the Constitution gives it to him, but because of the nature of the world we live in. Now, now we have a new standard of constitutional interpretation. The nature of the world we live in.
Yeah.
That by itself is the equivalent of saying, I'm emperor, but I won't do bad things. I'll only be an emperor for good things. You know, and the American people in the Congress sit there and take a statement like that?
And let me trade you quotes here. This is from another interview over the weekend where he said that Lincoln and Roosevelt went far beyond anything we've done in a global war on terror and said that all U.S. presidents since 73 have viewed the War Powers Act as unconstitutional. Is either of those statements correct?
Certainly not. Let's take the example of Abraham Lincoln. His most famous was he unilaterally suspended the writ of habeas corpus. And let's also think about the circumstances. There, no doubt, the sovereignty of the country was at stake there. Now, no one says insinuated that after 9/11 our sovereignty was at stake and Al-Qaeda was about ready to come to Washington, D.C. and burn the White House like in 1812. Secondly, Lincoln didn't try to hide anything like the FISA violations. He openly went to Congress and said, I had to suspend the writ. It was an emergency situation, and you should ratify this retroactively, which Congress did. That is, The President Lincoln put his case to the Congress and the people. He made it known what he had done, and like Bush could have gone to Congress and retroactively ratify everything I've done, but he's never done that. So Lincoln played by the rules of the game, which meant that he ultimately, with congressional ratification, was made legal. And he appealed to the people and to assess the authenticity of his motivation, etc. Now, what did Roosevelt do during World War II?
And just about 30 seconds, Bruce. Go ahead.
He established a military commission for what they called the Nazi saboteurs, that is, those who had come to the United States were on U.S. soil planning to blow up U.S. military installations, people who were on the equivalent of a battlefield. Then he used a military commission that was authorized by Congress to undertake trials. They were all found guilty and sentenced. But that's not like the military commission that the President Bush established, was not without congressional authority.
Right.
And moreover, it's used to try people who never set foot in the United States ever.
Yeah. Well, Bruce, I want to thank you for your clear analysis and your strong support of the issue we share, restoring our Constitution. We'll continue this conversation in the new year, and I thank you for your contributions.
Thanks so much, Peter.
All
good
right.
luck.
Happy holidays.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bonjour, this is Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. I've created a special offer for you to try my French wines made from organically grown grapes. For a limited time, when you buy 2 bottles, you get 1 bottle free, and I'll even pay for the shipping. I know you love the taste of these handcrafted wines from my ancestors' lands, especially if you care about our planet and your health. Imagine, you can have organic French wine delivered to your door for less than $12 a bottle. I've made this free wine and free shipping offer available to you because I believe you'll become a lifelong customer once you've tasted our wines. The French Bouquet Collection at ecowine.com includes my red Chateau Véronique from Languedoc, my white Viognier, and my Blanquette de Limoux sparkling wine. All French, organically grown, and affordable.
For free delivery, click on ecowine.com/Peter B. That's ecowine.com/Peter B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Jim Taylor. Shopping. We're simply not doing it this year.
About 6 million fewer people shopped at the malls this weekend, the crucial last weekend before Christmas, versus the same time last year.
CBS News correspondent Kelly Wallace, she's at a mall in New Jersey.
This is shaping up to be the worst holiday season for stores since at least 1969, the first year holiday sales were measured. Give me a perspective of how much you cut back this year.
Probably 50% from last year.
And nothing's charged, everything's paid.
Right, yeah, everything's cash.
Hoping to gain an edge with cautious consumers, stores are extending their hours, with some Macy's open 24 hours between now and Christmas Eve, and some JCPenney's keeping their doors open till midnight.
Toyota, one of those companies held up as an example of how to make a quality product and produce a healthy profit, even in lean times. Now, as we hear from CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus.
The Japanese automaker is warning that it will lose money this year for the first time in the company's history. It's also refusing to give a sales outlook for next year. The maker of the popular Camry and Prius Hybrid was one of the big money makers, outselling U.S. auto companies in recent years. But car sales across the border stalling in this recession.
Snow on the ground from the east coast to the west, which means snow shoveling in Hartford, Connecticut.
You know, it's kind of fun, actually, first snowstorm of the year. Get out and spend some time with your kid, and he's having a ball, so I don't really mind.
They're sledding in Seattle. Tens of thousands remain without power due to storms in the Midwest. President Bush taking care of business today at Walter Reed, personal and professional.
For the 16th and probably the final time, President Bush was visiting wounded military personnel at Walter Reed Army Medical Center.
Every time I come here, I get amazed at the quality of care, the professionalism, and the courage of our troops.
He presented Purple Heart medals to 7 wounded soldiers. He also underwent an MRI on his left shoulder, which has been causing him some pain. Doctors treated it with a shot of cortisone. Mark Knoller, CBS News, The White House.
Environmental groups filing suit against the Bush administration today to block a change in an EPA rule they say would allow more mining waste to enter mountain streams.
Many headwater streams are being filled in completely.
Judy Peterson, executive director of the Kentucky Waterways Alliance.
The floods get worse, and conversely, the droughts get worse as well. And that seems to be a pattern with areas where there's been a lot of mining.
Oil below $40 a barrel. Why? Phil Flynn at Aileron Trading.
Even with OPEC, you know, having one of the biggest production cuts in history, cold weather, not even that is enough to overcome, you know, the drop in demand due to the slowing global economy, and that's why these prices are so low.
He says he can envision dollar a gallon gas. This is CBS News.
All right, let's get down to some direct talk from DirecTV. At a time when the cost of almost everything around you is spiraling out of control, DirecTV puts you back in control with this amazing offer that locks in your price until 2010. Right now, you can get over 150 digital channels of DirecTV for just $29.99 a month for a full year. For a limited time, ask how to get 3 free months of HBO, Stars, and Showtime. That's 28 of the best premium movie channels free for 3 whole months. Lock in your savings until 2010 by switching to DirecTV today. Don't miss out. Call today. 888-680-DIRECTV. 888-680-DIRECTV. Call right now to get over 150 digital channels of DirecTV for just $29.99 a month for 12 months. 888-680-DIRECTV. Offer ends 12/31/08 and subject to credit approval. $23 bill credit requires rebate and enrollment in auto bill pay program. New DirecTV customers only. Leasing credit card required. Other conditions apply. Call for details.
It was magic time at the Magic Kingdom.
See Mickey Mouse.
They saw Mickey Mouse and all the other characters at Disneyland, an all-expenses-paid trip for 2,000 children and surviving spouses of U.S. war dead.
This is my second time. It was awesome for the kids.
It's called the Snowball Express, and it's been going on over the holidays since 9/11. The bad economy did not frighten off corporate sponsors. Teresa Priestner says it was like a much-needed shot in the arm for her kids.
I saw the sparkle come back in their eye that I was looking for a year.
Steve Kathan, CBS News.
Not guilty. Former Sopranos actor cleared today of second-degree murder in the 2005 shooting death of an off-duty New York City policeman. Lilo Brancato, convicted of a lesser charge of attempted burglary, faces a minimum of 3 years in prison on that count. The former actor could get credit for time served, though, because he's been behind bars just about that long. The guy he was with during the deadly burglary, the cop shooter, convicted earlier this year, sentenced to life without parole. I'm Jim Taylor, CBS News.
It's tax season. Well, technically April 15th is past, but now is the time to incorporate your business if you want to reap the tax savings and numerous benefits this year. LegalZoom makes incorporating your business easy and more affordable than ever. Over 1 million people have discovered how easy and affordable it is to use LegalZoom for important legal documents. LegalZoom isn't a law firm. They provide self-help services at your specific direction. For a special discount off most orders, enter POWER at checkout. That's LegalZoom.com.
And now, another reason to switch to Geico.
Every month we get lots of letters telling us how much folks like Geico's claim service. And I quote, "The adjuster assigned to my claim was incredible. He walked me through everything." Then there's this one. Geico.com is very useful and lets you track your claims. And this. "I filed a claim at 4:15 on Thursday afternoon and my car was in the shop at 10 a.m. on Friday." And my personal favorite, "Easy Squeezy Lemon Peasy."
For a free rate quote, visit Geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
This hour, we're going to explore a mystery related to the stolen election of 2004. It happened in Ohio, the state where I grew up. And as you probably know, every Friday we devote the last hour of our program to election integrity issues. Our go-to guy is Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com. And we're going to him in just a moment. If you were listening to Friday's program, either live, delayed, or on an iPod, you heard us talking with Harvey Wasserman and others about Mike Connell. Mike Connell with Karl Rove and George W. Bush's computer guru, an information technology expert, and also a very committed pro-life activist. And as we were speaking about Mike Connell on Friday evening, California time, it was about the same time that Mike Connell, an experienced pilot, crashed his plane and died on an approach near Akron, Ohio. Now, Brad, Friday, we said goodbye to you for the year. We traded emails and said, yeah, that does it. We'll talk to you in January. And once again, we need you, Brad.
Guess I'm not off the hook that easy.
No, the news has broken, and it is quite a stunning story, particularly in its implications for whether or not we'll find out the truth about what happened in Ohio in 2004.
Yeah, it's a remarkable story. When I first saw it late Friday night, actually before I saw it, Emily Levy of Velvet Revolution saw it first and let me know. You know, she had the same reaction I did. Are we talking about the same Mike Connell here? You know, it's a pretty familiar name. And at first, he was not identified necessarily as this IT guru, the high-tech Forrest Gump, as he's been described by the attorneys in the Ohio case. And then, sure enough, it was him. And he was returning back from D.C. To his home in Ohio on Friday. And at this point, the cause of the crash, the official cause of the crash, if you will, is still unknown.
Yeah.
But he was returning back from D.C., where he was having meetings, also unknown exactly why he was in D.C. at that time.
Mm-hmm. And there's been some awful reporting out there and some decent reporting in the corporate media. There's one television station in Cleveland, and I've got the story. If there's time, we'll play it a little bit later this hour. But there's been also some terrible reporting that simply refers to conspiracy theorists in the blogs about Mike Connell. Now, let's dispose of conspiracy theories and talk about what we do know and what we do know to be factual. Mike Connell worked for many years for Bush and Rove, and he set up critical websites, including GWB43.com, which we believe is where many of the emails that Karl Rove sent from the White House that he did not want to be discoverable were either sent or received.
Mm-hmm.
There are theories that the missing emails related to the U.S. attorney scandal were on that server or one like it, but not on the official White House server. So there are key issues. We also know, and I'd like you to take the narrative here, that Mike Connell was a key player with Secretary of State Ken Blackwell on the critical election night tabulation of the Ohio vote count in 2004.
Well, that's right. He ran the website servers that reported the numbers as they were coming out from the various counties on behalf of the state of Ohio for then Secretary of State J. Kenneth Blackwell. Now, at the same time, Connell was also working on George W. Bush's 2004 campaign, had created his website, had created it also in 2000. And as a report, I believe it was the report you said out of Cleveland today, mentioned that he was given $800,000 by George W. Bush in 2004 for that campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Not completely sure where that money went to, but $800,000. And at the same time, he's running the website that the entire world is looking at on election night in Ohio, reporting the results of that race, which then mysteriously moved from Columbus, Ohio, down to Chattanooga, Tennessee, where his servers are located, sometime after midnight. And after this move is made and the numbers come back up, lo and behold, George W. Bush is now beating John Kerry in the state of Ohio.
By 118,000, that was the final official tally. And the forensic study done by Richard Hayes Phillips indicates that the reverse is true, that Kerry won, and Phillips' estimate is by as much as 180,000 votes. So that's quite a swing. And the other key factor here is the disparity between the exit polls before they were adjusted, scrubbed, if you call it that, and the official tally. Because we know that the exit polls showed Kerry winning Ohio by, I think, about 4 points. Am I right?
The exit poll, I think it was about 3 points for Kerry.
Okay.
In Ohio.
Uh-huh. And, of course, the result came out like 4 points, 4.5 points away from that.
Right.
So that is a significant swing. And that was the swing that the analyst at the University of Pennsylvania described as statistically improbable by an incredible degree. I don't remember how many decimal points he used.
Yeah. Well, that's right. That was Steve Freeman. Now, indeed... You know, you mentioned the bad reporting out there and sort of smearing this off as a conspiracy theory or something. Here's the problem. You know, at some point, discussion about actual criminal conspiracies became something you weren't supposed to listen to. I'm not sure how to discuss this matter unless we discuss it in terms of a conspiracy theory, because, in fact, that is the criminal case that's being brought forward, that's being put forward by the Ohio attorney Cliff Arnbeck. He's claiming a wide conspiracy here to rig elections in Ohio in 04 and now elsewhere, all by Karl Rove.
And Cliff Arnbeck will be joining us at the half hour, so we're going to get his commentary directly, but go right ahead.
Yeah, well, and indeed, you know, a federal judge has looked at the information in this case, and the reasons that Arnbeck was wanting to bring in Connell to testify in this case, and he lifted the stay on this, you know, long-term election fraud case that had been going on in Ohio, and specifically gave permission to depose Mike Connell as well as others, which could include Karl Rove, as this conspiracy case, and that's actually what it is, moves forward. Now, the interesting note here, well, among many, actually, is that Mike Connell is said to have been threatened by Karl Rove, according to tipsters. And, in fact, Arnbeck had written to Mukasey, and I'll let him talk about the response he received, or lack thereof. He had written to the Attorney General Mukasey asking for protection of Connell, though he was, you know, very close to the Bushies and loyal, in fact, has said that he's very loyal to the Bush family. We had reason to believe that he was ready to talk about when what went on in 2004. And then these threats came from Karl Rove to Connell and his wife, who seems to have really known nothing about what was going on out there in Ohio and elsewhere with Connell's businesses, despite the fact that her name was on so many of these businesses, as our colleague Larissa Alexandrovna has reported.
Yeah, that's right. That her name is Heather, and Larissa went public after the death was announced. And said, I rarely do this, but given that Mike Connell has died, I'm going to expose that he was a source. And I met with him. I went to their house. I met with Heather. And so she did have some interesting insight there. And it appeared that he was a man who was wrestling with his loyalties to the Bush family and his deep religious values. And apparently, or I can guess, that he did have conflicts over, well, telling the truth.
And indeed. And that squares up with the information that we received from another GOP whistleblower, Stephen Spoonamore, who's a computer security expert who worked with Connell, said that he seemed to, I'm not quoting directly, but was racked with some form of guilt about what had gone on, was interested in talking. Had Connell had bought into this entire Bush family and all they stood for because he was a very, very religious man. He was anti-abortion, and he felt that he was, you know, saving babies by supporting the Bush regime. But obviously, something went wrong. He began to have, you know, concerns about his own conscience, it seems. And that is also squares up with the reporting that Larissa did on this story. That's just about where Connell seems to have been. When he then went in to testify, and I'll let Cliff in a bit talk about what he said or didn't say during that deposition, but he was forced by a federal judge on the day before this year's election. Here we are 4 years later, and Connell was forced to sit down for his deposition the day before the election, and was clearly still struggling with whether he should tell what he knows or not. And the information that he had, you know, that had come to him, those supposed threats from Karl Rove, you know, may have made him reticent about talking about this at all. And then we come up to last Friday night, his plane trip home. He was an accomplished pilot, as you said. He was flying by himself back from D.C. At this point, we don't know the cause of the crash, and we don't know whether it was due to sabotage or not, though that seems to be the rumors, if you will, for the moment out there floating in the blogosphere while we wait for the mainstream media, really, to at least the U.S. mainstream media, to jump in and start working on this story. They already have in the U.K. The Telegraph did a very good story, actually, on this. I'll be interested to see if the New York Times jumps in. Remember, this is a very highly placed protege of George Bush, Karl Rove, John McCain, and frankly, countless other Republicans. So I'm looking forward to the reporting if it ever comes.
People. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. He's got the story at Bradblog, and you can also read about it at Raw Story. That's rawstory.com. And we're going to take a break now. Larissa Alexandrovna has just called in, so we'll get her first-person account of her conversations with Mike and Heather Connell and anything else she would like to add to this developing story. And we will continue. Cliff Arnbeck will be joining us at the bottom of the hour. And if you have questions or comments, why don't you hold them till a little bit later in the hour as we get more of the information out here, and then we'll ask for your reaction. You know our toll-free number. It's 888-5-PETER-B. We'll continue as we discuss the plane accident in Akron on Friday that took the life of Mike Connell and, at least in part, appears to cut off access to important information about the Ohio presidential election of 2004. There's more straight ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Let me tell you about Chavez Jewelry Designs in Watsonville. Have you ever noticed how significant beautiful jewelry can be? A lovely diamond ring, special necklace, sparkling earrings, or a watch can be truly meaningful. When purchasing or repairing precious memories, having a friend in the jewelry business is critical. Chavez Jewelry Designs is your friend in the jewelry business. With Chavez Jewelry Designs, you will find the best products and repair service at the lowest prices. Stop by and check out Chavez Jewelry Designs, conveniently located at 1418 Freedom Boulevard in Watsonville's Crestview Shopping Center. Chavez Jewelry Designs is open weekdays 10 to 7. Call Chavez Jewelry Designs at 768-8004. That's 768-8004. A friend is waiting.
The holidays can be a time of hope and connection, and can bring opportunities to spend more time with friends and family. For some, this can be the most difficult time of the year. This year, think of the true spirit of the holidays and consider giving the gift of a renewed connection with someone you care about. I'm Mark LeCluse, an intern psychotherapist practicing in Soquel under the supervision of Santa Claus and Dr. Chaim Barton. I can work with you and your loved ones to resolve conflicts, improve communications, and solve problems. Together, we can turn struggles and challenges into opportunities for growth and connection this holiday season. I still have a few spaces left and would love to help. Please call one of our elves for an appointment. 831-818-4033. That's area code 831-818-4033. Thank you.
Looking for a big city dining experience with local ma-and-pop prices and service? Look no further than Jim's American Chinese Restaurant at 8069 San Miguel Canyon Road, Prunedale, just behind Burger King. Stephen Lowe, master chef and co-owner of Jim's American Chinese Restaurant, brings to Prunedale his 35 years of experience in cosmopolitan San Francisco. Stephen serves traditional American and Chinese dishes with subtle, delicious French and Italian influences. Jim's has great meals for $10 to $15. For extraordinary food to die for and prices that won't dent your budget, make it a point to visit Jim's American Chinese Restaurant in Prunedale. Jim's is open Monday through Saturday, 11 to 9, and Sundays, noon to 9. At Jim's, you can dine in or take out. And catering is also available. Call 663-4888. That's 663-4888. To make reservations at Jim's American Chinese Restaurant, call 663-4888.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. We're devoting this hour to a discussion of the airplane crash that took the life of Mike Connell, a man who is holding a lot of information about how the Republicans ran the election of 2004 and how we came up with George W. Bush as the winner, particularly in the state of Ohio. And joining us now, along with Brad Friedman from bradblog.com, is Raw Stories Manager of Investigative Reporting, Larissa Alexandrovna. Larissa, it's great to talk with you again. How are you doing today?
I'm good. It's good to talk to you as well. Thank you.
And this is a powerful story, and I want to direct people to your blog at largely. It's simply A-T-L-A-R-G-E-L-Y, atlargely.com. You did a tremendous job of critiquing some of the initial media coverage of this incident, and there have been a couple of good reports on television. You have one of those posted up at your website right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd like to delve into your contact with Mike and Heather Connell, and to the extent you'd like to tell us, how worried were they about the threats that they had received? And you and others have cited that twice in recent weeks, Mike Connell scrubbed flights in his private plane because as he did the pre-flight check, he discovered problems that could have been some sort of malicious tampering.
Right. As to your first question, I don't want to get into too much of the meetings and what was discussed and what was not, simply because we're not done with our investigation yet.
Okay.
But I can tell you that my sense was that they were worried, and that separately from the information that was being brought by Attorney Cliff Armbeck to the attention of the DOJ, there appears to have been some confirmation from the attorneys representing Mr. Connell, because they requested that any testimony relating to the alleged threats be sealed.
Mm-hmm.
And that in itself, if there are no threats, what are you sealing? So there's that, and my understanding is that whatever threats he was getting that he was conveying to his lawyers was separate from what was coming in also through Cliff Armbeck's office. And then according to Channel 19 News in Cleveland, and I, as you noted, I posted that up,
mm-hmm.
They apparently located yet another source, also apparently who had warned Connell not to fly in his plane. So right now it looks like there's three separate streams of threats in which the threats are coming in. And my understanding is there was concern. I think Heather Connell, however, was really left out of the loop about a lot of this by her husband.
Yeah, and Brad had commented that she's on the books as co-owner. And, Brad, weren't there actually two different companies, and she ran one and he ran the other?
There was actually a lot of companies involved one way or another. And I think that actually, Larissa may be able to confirm. I think she was the full owner of at least one of those companies, wasn't she, Larissa?
She and another gentleman, a lobbyist. He's a lobbyist. God, what is his name? I'm sorry, his name escapes me right now. They were both listed on New Media. In terms of paper, on paper, she was the owner of everything. And when I asked her about that, her response was that, you know, she's a stay-at-home mom. She's got four kids, and that her husband would ever leave her. She wanted 50%, and then I said, "But you're the only one on me."
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there isn't like 50-50. Your husband's nowhere on these contracts, these documents. And she was sort of shocked by this.
Mm-hmm.
But there are quite a few companies, and some of them appear to be on paper separate companies, but they're in fact being run out of the same office.
Mm-hmm.
New Media and GovTech are in fact in different offices. But when I was there and I went to the New Media offices, that was sort of strange to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because here you have a highly, highly, highly well-placed organization, a lot of contacts, making a lot of money, and the office was in the basement.
Mm.
It didn't even have windows. It was like
Wow. The
morgue. I thought, this is very bizarre.
Larissa, about 40 seconds till our break. Anything you'd like to add here briefly that hasn't been covered in the corporate media so far?
Well, nothing's been covered in the corporate media.
Well, we don't have all day.
Well, at least in America, anyway. What do I want to add? I think that the people should really understand that regardless of whether this was an accident or not, the important thing here is that the allegations are surrounding him and his involvement with the White House. This must be pursued, and I don't want, as much as I want the crash site investigated, I don't want people to chase that fully and forget why that's important.
All right. Larissa, we will follow your work at rawstory.com and get in touch with us whenever you have something breaking. Great to talk to you, and happy holidays to you and Kyle.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Brad, stay with us. We'll continue. Cliff Arnbeck will join us next.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Juan specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Peninsula Gem and Jewelry in Monterey is like no other store on the peninsula. 30 years family-owned and operated, Peninsula Gem specializes in finished jewelry, jewelry repair, and custom design. Supplying tools and materials for the jeweler and lapidarist from precious metals to cutting materials. Check out the spectacular Monterey Jade and other collectible minerals. Great gift ideas, too. Peninsula Gem and Jewelry is at 2245 North Fremont Street, right next to Big Five in Monterey. Open Tuesday through Saturday. Peninsula Gem and Jewelry.
Cornucopia Landscaping in Santa Cruz is a complete design, installation, and maintenance company. Cornucopia Landscaping specializes in water-saving gardens which retain a lush appearance. You can have fruit trees, grapevines, fresh vegetables, and many beautiful ornamental plants while using very little water. In fact, an entire Cornucopia Landscaping garden sips only as much water in a season as a lawn of equal size gulps down in 1 week. Drip irrigation is the key to a water-saving garden. Are you looking for a beautiful flagstone pathway? Cornucopia Landscaping builds decks, patios, arbors, fences, retaining walls, planter boxes, and many other custom-built wooden structures. Serving Santa Cruz County since 1996. For more information or a consultation, call Davis at 831-335-1209. That's 335-1209. That number again is 335-1209.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following The Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after The Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Special coverage of the airplane crash that took the life of Republican computer guru Mike Connell on Friday night in Akron, Ohio. We're talking with Brad Friedman from bradblog.com and Cliff Arnbeck, the attorney from Columbus, who deposed Mike Connell. That's right, he took a deposition, that's what that means, on the day before our November 4th elections, just this past year. And we'll get the attorney on the line shortly here. I think he made an appearance on Lou Dobbs' program tonight, and so he will be checking back with us as soon as he clears there. Brad, I wanted to just see if there's anything you want to add before we go to Cliff Arnbeck here.
Well, I've noticed that one point that was made, I'm not sure if it was a commenter or an emailer, but one curious note here is that as high-ranking as Mike Connell was, and with, you know, having worked on Bush's campaign and McCain's campaign and the email system and everything else, isn't it curious that there has been no statement, to my knowledge, on the passing of Mike Connell coming out of the White House or from Karl Rove or anybody else at this point?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you would think, I suspect, even had Jack Abramoff met an untimely death, that there would have been some form of recognition from the White House. But in this Connell case, absolutely nothing.
Uh-huh. Very interesting. Well, I think that is an important point to raise, and as we follow this story, it'll be very interesting to see if there is acknowledgement from the White House on these issues. And I just learned that Cliff Arnbeck will be on Lou Dobbs tomorrow, so we've got that straightened out. Mr. Arnbeck, welcome back to our program. Nice to talk with you again.
Nice to be with you, Peter.
And Brad Friedman is with us as well. I know you two have spoken because Brad's interview with you is up at bradblog.com.
Howdy,
hey, Brad. Good to talk to you.
So, Cliff, what would you like? Where would you like to start? We've discussed the incident. We've discussed the history of Mike Connell. I'd like to ask you to comment on the warnings that were issued to Mike Connell about his life that have been attributed to Karl Rove, and the unusual steps that you took, asking judges, or at least one judge, to protect Mike Connell from the threats that had been made.
Well, there were two threats. The first came shortly after the news conference we had July 17th this year, where we identified Connell as a key witness against Karl Rove.
I apologize for that feedback. I'll try to fix that. Keep talking.
And the tipster said that Rove was threatening Connell and indicating that he would not be given a pardon, and that his wife, Heather, would be prosecuted if he implicated Rove or anyone else in this, that he was to take the fall.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on, there were two or three additional tips, and then closer to the time of the actual deposition, the tipster indicated that the tipster said Connell is in danger.
Mm-hmm.
And that was more ominous in its tone than the original tip talking about the threat of prosecution of the wife.
And do you know how these threats were delivered?
Our understanding from the tipster is that they were not delivered directly from Rove to Connell, but rather through Jeff Averbeck.
Mm-hmm. And who is Jeff?
Jeff Averbeck is the president of Smart Tech.
I see. Okay. And did Mike Connell take these threats seriously?
Well, the tipster didn't say anything about that because they were deemed to be credible by the people who have knowledge of the players and knowledge of the situation. We took them as serious threats, and that's why we communicated to the Attorney General of the United States, to the Attorney General of the State of Ohio, and to the federal court in which we had a pending case where we had designated Connell as a witness.
Mm-hmm.
And we basically said that a witness that we've identified in this for purposes of this federal litigation is being subjected to intimidation, and we ask that everything be done to protect the witness.
And what was the response from first Attorney General Mukasey's office and then the Ohio Attorney General?
Well, the Ohio Attorney General agreed at that point to lift the stay in the case that we had pending in federal court, and to specifically for the purpose of taking the deposition of Michael Connell. And so that was their response, was to bring him into the court system through the discovery process.
Mm-hmm.
The U.S. Attorney General, we did not have a response, but I began to communicate with the a high official there whom I know personally. And when I called his office, his secretary was very cordial, seemed to be familiar enough that she gave me his direct telephone number and his email. So I have been emailing him information, keeping him informed about this.
Mm-hmm.
And my thought was that if probably Rove would know, because we were reporting broadly that we were advising the Justice Department, in as much as Rove has been a target of the Patrick Fitzgerald inquiry as special counsel into the Wilson Plain matter,
mm-hmm.
and is now a target on the firing of the U.S. attorneys,
right.
and the politicization of the Justice Department. I thought that by keeping this in the sights of the Justice Department, that we were protecting Connell from any harm.
Mm-hmm. And then just one more, Brad, and then I'll go to you. What was the reaction of the court? And how did you get that date right before the general election this past November for the deposition?
Well, what I said to the court, there are two courts involved. One is the federal district judge in Columbus and in the southern district, and then the district judge in Cleveland in the northern district. And both of them cooperated in getting Connell into the court system.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got the deposition, but what we did is ask for first we got an order from the Northern District to have a hearing, oral hearing, on the motion of Connell's lawyers had filed to quash our subpoena. And then secondly, we asked the court to amend its order to require the presence of the party, that is Michael Connell. And then we asked the court to enforce a requirement of deposition before the election. And that occurred, the hearing on the motion occurred on Friday before the election.
Right.
And the deposition occurred on Monday, the day before the election.
I recall. Brad, go ahead.
Yeah, Cliff, I want to get into a couple of details from that deposition. But first, just to confirm here, is it fair to say that we know that Mukasey did not get back to you after you sent him this request for protection for Connell? And I reported that in the interview that we had earlier today. But is it fair to say that no law enforcement officials, whether it be federal or in Ohio, responded in any way to this request for protection that you sent out after these threats supposedly came in from Karl Rove?
Well, I would say that I was communicating to the court in Columbus that the chambers that I was communicating to people who were in touch with Connell that the court would protect him, and I trust court down here and I felt confident and by telling the court what I was telling putting the word out to Connell that the court would extend its full protection. What we were trying to do is to get Connell to come into the court and take the steps he needed to take to secure that cooperation. And I felt that had Connell come into the court, that the court would have called the U.S. attorney, the head of the FBI in Columbus. He would have brought someone from the attorney general's office in. And in the face of the kind of intimidation that was being reported, the court would have done everything that could be done to protect him. But in terms of the court taking that kind of action without the person allegedly subject to intimidation stepping forward, I think that's probably asking too much.
Well, it sounds as if the court reacted, but it doesn't sound as if law enforcement on any level reacted. Did Connell himself acknowledge these threats in any of these hearings? I know there was a hearing the Friday before the general election where the judge compelled him to give his deposition on Monday. Did the topic of these threats come up at all, and did Connell or his attorneys acknowledge them in any way?
Well, in the hearing on Friday, it's a matter of public record. It was all the conversation was in open court. There was a transcript, which is we've made available to media, and in that hearing before the judge, Connell was sitting there the whole time, and I was saying that we wanted to inquire into the reported intimidation against him. His lawyers didn't say anything like, well, we want to assure the court that there's been no intimidation of this witness, and this is all nonsense. They didn't say anything like that. They certainly didn't say we acknowledge that there's been intimidation, and we would seek to let's go into chambers and let's hash this out and see what we can do with the court's assistance to protect our client. Nothing like that occurred. It was just my saying that was an area of inquiry that we wanted to make in the deposition if we were allowed to take the deposition.
And then as you were allowed to take that deposition, I know the judge gave certain restrictions on what perhaps what you could ask or at least what needed to remain sealed. When we move forward now to the Monday before the election last month, you sit him down in this deposition. Was he then asked about those threats, and did he respond, or is that some of the material that is required to be sealed at this point?
Yeah, in the Friday hearing, the lawyer for Mr. Connell requested that the any discussion of intimidation be asked and answered under seal, and I agreed to that, and the court ordered that. The second area that was to be sealed was any discussion of trade secrets, and we agreed. We said we didn't think there was going to be discussion of trade secrets, but if there were, that would be agreeable to us.
All right. Gentlemen, let's pause for a second. I want to talk to Laura, who's calling from New York. Hi, Laura. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with attorney Cliff Arnbeck and publisher Brad Friedman.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes.
I'm calling just because I want to mention... Oh, I'm hearing myself.
Yeah, I can't... Just plow right through it. We've got too many callers on the air right now, but go right ahead.
Okay. Okay. I happen to have run into about a year ago, looking at researching something else online. I happen to have run into something that a ex-intelligence agent said was kind of a well-known black bag way of killing either a driver or a pilot.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, wouldn't necessarily be considered, but I would like, you know, anyway. The deal is that in these black bag jobs, one easy way of getting rid of somebody is to put a strong knockout drug dissolved in a particular solvent, DMSO, that goes right through skin. In fact, that was the way that pharmacist accidentally discovered LSD, because he was DMSO was a new solvent at the time, and they didn't realize it.
Okay. Well, let me ask for comment, Lauren. I'm going to put you on hold so you don't get the feedback there. I consider it a little early to speculate on these things, but Cliff, do you have any comment?
Well, there are criminal techniques for killing people that are designed to not be detected.
Mm-hmm.
And I have heard of that technique used by organized crime against truckers. You put this on the driver's driver on the steering wheel.
Yeah. Okay, Brad, do you have a comment?
Yeah, I do. Real quick, Cliff, do you have any reason? I know that they didn't get back to you when you were asking for protection for Connell in the first place. Now, as you told me earlier, you've asked the Justice Department to seriously examine what may have happened here in this crash. Have they gotten back to you to indicate that would happen? And do you feel that at this point we may as well wait until January 20th before we get a legitimate investigation out of this Department of Justice?
Well, I take Mukasey at his word and look at the fact that they have they did have the special counsel investigating the Wilson plane matter, and they currently have a special counsel from Connecticut who's investigating the firing of the U.S. attorneys. I also the person that I'm communicating with is the is a career civil service guy. He's a straight arrow. And I feel that he's going to do something here. I would hope, and I will put a phone call in to reiterate my my email urging this action.
And you can describe your diplomatic comment there on this interview, Cliff. I don't share quite your confidence in the Mukasey Justice Department, but I will defer to you in this matter. We're going to take a break and return. Attorney Cliff Arnbeck with us from Columbus, Ohio. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. And we're talking about the remarkable incident in Akron, Ohio last Friday night when Mike Connell's plane crashed and he died. And as you heard, Mike Connell knows a lot about the Republican computer systems that may have played a role in gaming the election, the presidential election in Ohio in 2004. We'll pick up there in just a moment on the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Let me tell you about my father, okay? He's what we might politely call a redneck philosopher. He explained the entire Middle East to my brother and I once with this nugget of wisdom. He just goes, "I'll tell you this much, any culture that starts in a desert and disrespects its women is doomed to fail." Dad, you live in Las Vegas. Look up irony tonight, Dad. That's all I'm going to tell you, okay? Irony. We had a great argument when Bush went to visit the troops in Iraq during a Thanksgiving. He had a plastic turkey. That was great. My father and I were arguing about it, right? And finally, it comes down to this. My dad just goes, "I'll tell you this much. Al Gore never would have gone into Iraq." And I looked at him and I said, "Exactly."
That's comedian Joe Klosik. I'm Richard Stockman with a minute from planetcruise.com.
This is the Media Matters Minute. I'm Ben Fischel. Our top item today on Fox News, NPR's Mara Liasson echoed White House talking points on George Bush's legacy and the Iraq War.
Over time, I think history will judge him pretty kindly. He is handing over a war that's pretty manageable, if not almost one, to his successor.
Liasson's words strongly resembled Bush's recent description of the Iraq War, ignoring or dismissing criticism of the conduct of the invasion and occupation in Iraq. But the most ridiculous comment of the day goes to talk radio host Michael Savage discussing a possible replacement for Hillary Clinton's Senate seat.
No, we're looking at affirmative action candidates that have to fill certain roles. The young Kennedy was supposed to run, if you remember, he died in a tragic plane crash. Do you remember that one?
JFK Jr., absolutely.
Thank you. And to this day, people wonder why he died in a plane crash. And then suddenly enter from stage left, the carpetbagger Hillary Clinton, who moves to Chappaquiddick, and next you know, she's running for the presidency.
For these stories and more, visit MediaMatters.org.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale, here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day, 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, talking with Brad Friedman from bradblog.com for full coverage of the death of Mike Connell and the airplane crash in Akron on Friday night. Go to bradblog.com. There's a lot of great information there, including references to an interview that Brad did earlier today with attorney Cliff Arnbeck, who's also on the line with us from Columbus, Ohio. And Brad, if I can steal one of your questions, Cliff, how far does this set back the investigation that you have underway into the 2004 presidential results from Ohio?
Well, first, there are statements that Mr. Connell has made which are in the nature of exceptions to the hearsay rule. It's called an admission against interest. And so there is a mechanism by which certain statements can come into the court proceeding, even in the absence of Mr. Connell, to testify.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no question that not having Mr. Connell, who is extraordinarily intelligent, pervasively involved in this technical area, and who is a guy, according to the people who know him, is a guy that has a conscience. He's not a sociopath. He's not a criminal type of person. It's a loss to not have his further testimony available.
Yeah. Brad?
Yeah, if we can pick up on something before the break real quickly, Cliff. In his deposition, the attorneys, Connell's attorney, said that they wanted any questions about the threats that they wouldn't comment on, but they wanted those questions to remain sealed, as well as questions about trade secrets for his company. While I can understand still wishing to keep those trade secrets sealed if they came up in the deposition, at this point, shouldn't it be public information if, in fact, that there were threats? And can you at least confirm whether or not you asked them about this and whether they acknowledged the threats without going into the details?
The court order is that the question, any question and any answer on that subject is sealed. Now, it's quite possible that in view of the circumstances that the other side, Mr. Connell's lawyers may say that they're willing to have the entire deposition unsealed and released at this point. Or it may be possible that the judge would rule that in the circumstances it should be public record. But at this point, I'm not at liberty to discuss either the questions or the answer in that area.
And pardon me for trying here, but is it fair to say that there were questions and that they did answer them without going into the any details about what that answer was?
I think it would be fair to conclude that based upon the hearing on Friday that there were questions and answers on that subject.
Okay, fair enough.
Okay, and would you move to unseal those the deposition and those portions that have been sealed?
The only portion that's sealed right now is the questions and answers on intimidation.
Mm-hmm.
There's a pending letter requesting in-camera review of certain portions. It's either two or three portions of the transcript that the Connell lawyers are asking be sealed as trade secrets.
Okay, and Cliff, I disagreed.
In the open court, and I disagreed in the discussions with the judge in the middle of the deposition that these should be sealed, and I don't think the judge is going to allow them to be sealed, so I think they will become public.
Okay, and Cliff, I just have about 30 seconds. What would you like to mention that we haven't asked you about that's important here?
Well, somebody asked me if it was, I think Brad asked me if there's anything that shocked me about this, or somebody asked me that. I was just sitting in a public, restaurant, with the cable television on, and it shocks me that Karl Rove is, standing there, talking as though he's an authority on everything and as he's a proper participant in our civil society. This man should be in jail.
All right. Cliff Arnbeck, thank you very much. Brad Friedman, thank you. We'll talk again in the new year.
Thank you, sir. Have a Merry Christmas.
Read it at bradblog.com.
Bonjour, this is Véronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. I've created a special offer for you to try my French wines made from organically grown grapes. For a limited time, when you buy two bottles, you get one bottle free, and I'll even pay for the shipping. I know you love the taste of these handcrafted wines from my ancestors' lands, especially if you care about our planet and your health. Imagine, you can have organic French wine delivered to your door for less than $12 a bottle. I've made this free wine and free shipping offer available to you because I believe you'll become a lifelong customer once you've tasted our wines. The French Bouquet Collection at ecowine.com includes my red Chateau Véronique from Languedoc, my white Viognier, and my Blanquette de Limoux sparkling wine. All French, organically grown, and affordable.
For free delivery, click on ecowine.com/Peter B. That's ecowine.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Jim Taylor. Who's buying? Anyone? Worst Christmas buying numbers since they started keeping track of them in 1969, so...
Hoping to gain an edge with cautious consumers, stores are extending their hours. With some Macy's open 24 hours between now and Christmas Eve, and some JCPenney's keeping their doors open till midnight.
CBS News correspondent Kelly Wallace says this week's numbers spell a bleak business beginning to 2009.
Retail analysts say that if consumers aren't buying the products now, they're not able to offer any deeper discounts after Christmas, so they might be stuck with bad profits and also a lot of products that they just can't get rid of.
How much fun is this, huh? Sledding in Seattle, where there's as much as a foot of snow, a blanket of the stuff covering the northern regions of the country from coast to coast. In America's middle,
the Midwest is just beginning to brace for possibly two more storms, one as early as tomorrow and one Christmas Eve day.
CBS News reporter Dave Price says the impact on air travel is enormous.
Since Saturday, more than 240 flights have been canceled at Seattle-Tacoma International and nearly 700 at Portland International. And New York City airports are still struggling to get back on track after canceling more than 1,000 flights over the weekend.
Kellogg Brown and Root, the military contractor known as KBR, steeped in repeated scandals. Soldiers who served in a KBR water plant in Iraq now with rare cancers. CBS News correspondent Armin Kataya.
CBS News has obtained information that indicates KBR knew about the danger months before the soldiers were ever informed. These depositions from KBR employees detailed concerns about the toxin in one part of the plant as early as May of 2003. And these minutes from a later KBR meeting state that 60% of the people now exhibit symptoms of exposure, including bloody noses and rashes. In a statement, the company told CBS News, "We deny the assertion that KBR harmed troops and was responsible for an unsafe condition. The company says it notified the Army as soon as it identified the toxins. Armin Katayan, CBS News, Washington.
We are a nation that's on the move, still moving, west.
The latest census numbers show California remains the most popular state, and Utah is now the fastest-growing state.
Earlier, Nevada had been the fastest-growing state for 18 years in a row.
Greg Harper is a Census Bureau demographer.
It's not that Utah is taking off in population growth. It's that other states like